about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is my dad's stereo.
Come on, Larry, take a chance. Let's party.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
There's nothing worse than reheating pizza in a microwave. I love crisp, crunchy crust. Why microwave when you can flavor wave?
What's happening?
I love Jesus, but I drink a little.
But in all seriousness, Tiger's had a difficult year, but he's back, and he's getting ready for the British Open tomorrow. So everyone, give it up for Tiger Woods, if you haven't already.
You're a pain in my ass! Stop being that!
And now, do you get paid more if they do stuff to your butt?
That's terrible.
Our feature presentation.
That is terrible.
Terrible.
That is terrible.
It depends how much you need the money, dude.
Charles Barkley. Yeah, I guess that's true. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show, and it is a Wednesday morning. What's happening?
What's happening is it's time for you to get over to the telephone and give us a call. Pick it up and call toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Excuse me. That is the number to get on the air and get a prize and be part of the Wednesday Kevin and Bean What It Do Nephew. Got to tell you, I don't listen to the Love Line. Mm-hmm. Very entertaining late-night show across many of these great countries.
I hear the host is a douchebag. So
he's a tool. Yeah. That's universally agreed. Dr. Drew, still fantastic. They kind of low rent on the host this time around. They've had some good hosts in the past, maybe not so much right. Oh, hi, Psycho Mike. How are you? I didn't see you over there.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Oh, you're here?
But I do follow – this is funny. Like so many other things, I don't actually listen to it or watch it, but I do follow it online, so I feel like I have some understanding of it. But, Mike, I need some clarification about the Twitter celebrity challenge that was going on last night. What's that
awesome.
About?
Awesome.
Hold on. He's got to take off his headphones and go over to a proper microphone so that he can explain it to us accurately.
This actually is pretty awesome. So last night, the guy who kind of takes care of Loveline's needs online, Tyler, he throws down the gauntlet to kind of a collection of celebrity friends that Loveline has. First one to respond back wins a prize, and okay. he didn't narrow down what that prize may be.
Just people that have come on the show a bunch of times. So you can have them back.
He direct tweets to Snoop Dogg, Jimmy Fallon,
Conan O'Brien.
There's a list of maybe six people, and he was expecting Dr. Drew and myself to come into work, and then we would suss out what that prize may be, and we would figure it out, hoping maybe that one of them would get back to us within 25 seconds. I'm not exaggerating. Snoop responds.
What?
Ooh wee, what do I win?
What?
Yeah. And so we.
So what prize do you give Snoop?
We don't know what to do. So just Tyler, we come into work and Tyler says, I don't know what to do. I've put down this please respond type race with the celebs. And Snoop responds back in 20 seconds. What do we. So we go to Snoop's website to see what we can muster up. He's also put up a video. To Dr. Drew.
Oh no!
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking within minutes.
Wow!
All right, I have the audio for that, so we'll see how this plays out. Right. So this is a big surprise to you when Snoop actually has a question for Dr. Drew.
Yes.
Here's that.
Dr. Drew, what up? It's Big Snoop Dogg. I got a question for you, man. How do you manage to smoke, have sex, and drink, smoke and have sex and drink, and look good like me after 20 years?
You did.
That's a good question.
Why am I so good? Why am I look so young and so healthy with the lifestyle that I'm leading?
So I said, Drew, you can't just call him up. You can't just tweet him back. You got to make your own video. I may think the guy's earned it at this point.
I like
point.
It. Put it back up on YouTube.
Dr. Drew responds with his own video of how you can stay looking good after smoking weed. And
congratulations, Snoop, for winning the celebrity Twitter race this afternoon. And you ask a very interesting question. You know, the long-term effects of cannabis can be somewhat resisted by certain genetic traits, some genetic predispositions. The same is true with alcohol. Ethanol is not as damaging to certain individuals neurobiologically as others. And in terms of your aging, of course, pigmented skin doesn't age as quickly, and certainly there can be less plasticity and wrinkling.
That's, by the way, his words saying the black don't crack is what he's basically saying there.
All that could summate to... have you looking as good as you do, given that you've been using a fair bit of cannabis, alcohol, ethanol, and nicotine? continuing to engage in coitus. Or it could thus be that you're one fly motherfucker.
So that's the real answer, is he's a fly mother effer.
That's awesome. Who's the best?
That's the way it goes. Still haven't nailed down what we're going to give Snoop as a prize, but that's
what... How do you...
Well, there's only one thing he wants. Come on.
Right, but he's got better than you could get.
Yeah, but, okay, so if you're Dr. Drew...
Yeah, if you're Dr. Drew,
you're Dr. Drew, and you're me, who's in recovery, is it? Do you really want to go out there buying sacks of weed for somebody? You know?
Well,
we can hire someone.
Send Tyler out. Yeah, he's the guy that came up with the idea, right?
That's a good idea. Anderson.
Anyway,
Anderson.
Very, very funny.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
The always entertaining Steve Carell is back with his friend Paul Rudd in a new film called Dinner for Schmucks. It opens up in theaters on Friday, July 30th. You get to see it the night before at a special advance screening at the Arclight in Hollywood on July 29th. That's your prize for being on the air. Let's try John calling us on line 2 to get us going today. Hey, John, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What a do, nephew?
What a do, nephews. What up, Lisa May?
What up, John?
What's going on?
Hey, what is the deal with Lindsay Lohan? Who cares? You know who should be institutionalized is your parents for exploiting her at such a young age.
Yeah, you've got a point there. Your parents are a disaster.
Look, nobody really... I don't think anybody really cares about her. It's just the part of that there is a major celebrity that's going to jail and is playing out in front of us. And it's not like people care about her that much.
And has been out drinking and driving and stuff. So it's
earned. I do think they should release her into the general population.
In other words, instead of she's getting a little bit of special treatment right now, if you consider solitary confinement special treatment, you're saying she doesn't deserve that.
No, not at all. I think they should let her loose on the masses.
And just let people have at her?
I understand that way of thinking, but I also understand from the jail's perspective, you don't really want to put prisoners in a situation where they're perhaps unfairly going to be targeted just because of their fame. I can understand that. I mean, the last thing they want to do is set up a fight.
They do, they do pick on certain people in jail. There are certain people that are not safe.
Right.
And sometimes it's celebrities. You know, I was watching Lockup on MSNBC, which is a great program about prisons.
Love it.
Love it, right? And they were talking about child molesters. Really have a heart. Like, they were talking to murderers, and they would go, if I see a child molester, I'm just going to kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it works.
Right. There's a hierarchy. There's no question about that. Yeah. I mean,
I've killed a person, but this guy is a, you know, he abuses little kids, so I don't have
maybe
a choice.
Maybe he's got to just slap her out for a little bit. Maybe slap some sense in her.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing Lindsay needs to do, and this is, Kevin, I'm sure you've seen this on Lockup, is she needs to cut a bitch, because then the word gets out, don't screw with me.
Yeah, you got to have crazy eyes.
You got to have crazy eyes, you got to cut a bitch. I mean, clearly that's what's needed here.
For no reason.
True.
For just out of the blue.
John, thank you for the call. I guess they're saying 13 or 14 days is what Lindsay's likely to get, so she can hang on for that long.
Is that right? Because then at first they were saying 20 days, and then they were saying 19 days. Remember, Harvey guessed 10.
Yeah.
So it may end up closer.
It could end up being 10. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Ray is on line 3 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ray. Welcome in, man. What's going on?
What it do, nephew?
What it do, baby boo? Hi.
Hey, listen, I was reading on the internet yesterday about this guy who started off with a red paperclip. And on Craigslist, you know how they have the trade option? You know how you can trade things for other things?
Yeah.
Well, this guy had to start off with a red paperclip, and 14 trades later, he ended up with a two-story house.
Yeah.
We talked to that guy.
We followed that. I mean, this is several years old that this story happened, but we talked to that guy several times along the way, and he got it done, man.
Didn't he have a snowmobile when we talked to him? Something like that?
Yeah, he was trading up along the way. Yeah.
Well, yesterday there was another story about a kid who started off with an old cell phone and ended up with a 1990 Porsche Boxster.
See, for folks who aren't following, what happens is you've got an old cell phone, and all you need to do is find somebody out there who's willing to trade you for that cell phone something just a little bit better. And then from that, you've got something a little bit better. You find somebody else to do the same trade up. And eventually, as you mentioned, after a few trades, you end up with something pretty good.
But when you start with a paperclip and then you get to a house, it seems like it would take more than, what did you say, 14?
You said 14.
Yeah. 14,
it seems like it would take way more than that. You'd have to go up in such smaller increments, you know?
I think people got wind of it and started kind of helping him along.
Kind of play along?
Maybe yeah. so. Yeah. It was very impressive. And he seemed like a really nice guy, that guy that we talked to, the red paperclip guy, too. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's do one thank more. You. How about Matt? Matt is on line one joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt, what'd it do?
What'd it do, Kevin and Bean? What'd it do, Lisa May?
What'd it do, Matt?
What's going on?
Hey, I'm just going to leave with a punchline.
Okay.
Cleo, Miss Cleo naked, okay? What it is that you said that she got hypnotized
yes.
on the other day?
Yes.
At the OC Fair?
Yes.
Well, a friend of mine at work told me that at the OC Fair, that same hypnotist has a sideshow, an adult sideshow, where anything happens.
Yeah. Yes.
And you have to sign a waiver.
How do we
and
not know
And I believe
about
she
that?
Owes you a few jumping jacks and stuff, right?
Right. She certainly does.
So I think payback is what? Payback's a biatch.
You've got good delivery.
The problem is, if Cleo knows that something like that is likely to happen or even possible to happen, I don't think she would allow herself to be hypnotized. I think she only did it because she knew it was going to be safe.
Well, fine then.
Well, fine then.
I didn't mean to bum you out or anything.
No, we'll look into it.
That's a brilliant idea.
It is.
We will look into it because she does owe us.
Mm-hmm.
We should get her hypnotized, and we should make her do those jumping jacks, because the world just doesn't seem right with that still out there not being paid back like it should.
Right, the world is imbalanced.
Exactly.
All right, thank you for the call,
thanks,
Matt.
I did too. Matt's
Matt
funny.
That's the man. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What are you, a expert?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, we have Kevin Smith in the studio today.
He's
the best. Yeah. Talking Comic-Con and all of his stuff. He's got all kinds of different appearances and stuff. We're going to tell you about Bean's Hero. They did a special yesterday on the news on a guy who writes letters to the editor. And what a loser.
How dare you?
What a gigantic loser.
Oh, black man can't have an opinion.
It's not black.
Is that what you're saying?
This guy has written, and I think he's had published 526 letters to the editor.
He's got a lot to say about a lot of things.
It's all meaningless drivel.
They must hate him.
I think they're delighted to hear from him every time.
The guy who runs the Arizona Republic paper, which is where this guy is from, I think Scottsdale or someplace in Phoenix area, recognizes his writing style before he sees the name.
Mm-hmm.
And he's excited because they're usually pretty good letters. His only fear is, he says on this piece, you know, that I just printed one by him last week, so I don't want to put too many in. But
right.
This guy, for some reason, he's retired, and that's what he does. Hmm.
This is what I don't – and totally forgot I had taped that piece yesterday, so I haven't seen the story yet on the TV.
Oh, I got highlights for you.
This is what I don't understand. He's a good writer, and he's got a good opinion. He gets published a lot. Why doesn't the Arizona Republic hire this guy as a columnist? That's the answer.
Idea. Yeah.
I don't know. But I can tell you this. I haven't, and I don't know anyone who reads letters to the editor. Zero people, except for Bean. Have you ever read a letter to the editor?
In magazines, I might scan through them.
But
most
of the time,
they're just comments on what happened in
right.
other issues.
You go, all
but
right,
that's about
this
it.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
Move on to something else.
Yeah, pretty
something
much.
Something good. But that's what this guy does. He's retired now. Used to be in the Coast Guard. Now he writes letters.
All right.
I love this guy.
And Bean yesterday said, oh, I got to tape this. So we
well,
were all like,
doing a story
what?
Of my guy.
This guy writes letters. Like, what are you talking about?
I either want to be the guy who writes letters or the guy who walks on the moon. Those are my two goals in life. So I really only had to narrow it down to one that
well,
I can do.
The guy who writes letters is way well ahead of you. So you're going to need to start catching up.
Yeah, but he's going to die soon. Then I'm going to take over.
Funny man, Patton Oswalt will be in the studio.
Yeah!
Always love him.
Yes.
We are going to talk to Window Licker Nick
okay.
today
oh.
on the program.
We got a big breakthrough for Nick today in his screenwriting career. I'm very excited to share the news with him.
And we're going to talk to former Laker Rick Fox, talking about the Pros versus Joes, which is on tonight.
All right.
Very excited cool. about that. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat, which is next. That song, all right.
It's nice. I feel like I'm in Ibiza.
All right.
At a foam party.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Don't forget K-Rock's Road Trip USA. Stop number 3 is Green Day in Boston. You qualify all week with tickets to see Green Day, August 31st at Verizon Wireless. Plus, you could win a 2011 Scion XB equipped
Scion!
With
Scion!
Custom Kumho tires. Your chance to win
Hi!
Is coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 5:54.
How about Ralph Garvin joining us in studio right now for a first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show? What's going on, Ralph?
The show over yet?
What? No.
I think we just started.
Because you're going to Comic-Con?
I got to go.
Well, you got to go after the show.
No.
Down to Comic-Con.
Comic-Con is waiting for me.
But there's nothing happening right now.
I am Dorothy, and that is the Emerald City at the end of the yellow brick road. But you have some sort of a Comic-Con pre-kickoff party, but that's not till tonight, right?
Tonight!
Nice.
Yes, that's true, but I have to prepare.
Sure.
I have to wax.
Huh?
I got to get waxed.
That word is
mani-pedi. I got a mani-pedi.
All right.
Need a massage.
Right.
Get a good cleansing.
Sure. Yeah.
How good do you have to look to wear a Darth Vader suit all weekend?
How dare you?
Although it is, when you guys are going to be down there with me on Friday, it is Star Wars theme day.
Yeah, I know.
So we're going to see a lot of stormtroopers, a lot
but
of
isn't, darts. Forgive my ignorance. Isn't every day in that community Star Wars Day? I mean,
no,
really?
This isn't Star Wars Celebration 5. This is Comic-Con. So you get all different themes and all different costumes all the time.
Mike, okay. Mike, tell Ralph what the Kevin Amin cast of players is going to go down there as on Star Wars Day.
Well, that's who we wanted to go down there.
Yeah, we came up with.
I wanted to get Beer Mug to be Chewbacca.
Oh, how dare you. Okay.
I was going to be Han Solo, myself, right. or David King of Mexico. Sure. And we were going to possibly get Micah, our favorite gay listener, to be Darth Gator.
Nice. So we're looking at, we're in the spirit.
Can we get Super Steve to be Boba Fett? Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because we're closer to Star Wars, perhaps, than we've ever been before.
What does that mean?
Yesterday, the Pentagon announced that the Navy has successfully used laser beams to shoot down test drone planes.
No kidding.
They've got a weapon now that'll fire a laser at a plane and knock it out of the sky.
Wow.
Laser battles!
They've been trying that for a long time, haven't they?
They have, and they finally perfected it.
How about that?
At least in testing situations. I saw the video today, and it's awesome. The only problem is you don't see the laser beam. It's not like the cool, pew, you see it, you know, coming out of the Millennium Falcon or whatnot. This is just, you see this plane flying and it just bursts into flames.
Wow.
The beam just sets it on fire and crashes in the ocean.
You don't see the beam, though?
No.
Yeah, all right, let's...
They gotta add some food color or something to that.
Let's double check that.
Can we work that out?
Maybe there's just some...
Somebody with a Bic lighter up there just lights a flame.
Charges on board.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool.
That is cool.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Speaking again of Comic-Con, Ali Larder.
Ooh. Yes.
Is one of the stars of Resident Evil Afterlife, the latest in the Resident Evil movie series, starring Mila Jovovich. And I will be hosting both of those young ladies at a panel on Saturday down
what?
At the Comic-Con.
All right.
We'll be talking about their new film. I've seen some of it. It's in 3D. It's awesome.
You want to see those girls in 3D?
Yes, you do. Anyway, Ali announced yesterday that she is with child.
Oh.
Congratulations. Oh. She's pregnant. She and her... husband, actor, writer Hayes MacArthur are expecting their first child this winter. So I guess she's safe when we have sex. It's good.
That is good.
Right, I won't get any strange phone calls.
Is that a guarantee when you host?
It is with Ali Larder, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Ralph, is Ali Larder the one who was briefly engaged or married to Mario Lopez?
No, it's no. Ali Landry.
She's Ali the Landry. Doritos okay. girl. Yeah, Ali okay. Larder. Is the girl from, well, Heroes.
From Heroes, yeah, the blonde.
She was the blonde
oh,
from Heroes.
Yeah, she was, okay, the one with the doppelganger, gotcha.
Right. Varsity Blues, of course, famously. She wore sure. the whipped cream bikini in that feature film.
Now I got it. I get those
Allies
confused
sometimes.
That's
burned into my mind. Yeah.
So, good times.
Yeah.
Bad times for Rosie Perez. This is a weird story.
What's up with Wosie?
Wosie Perez was doing a guest shot on Law & Order SVU. She was filming a stunt and was severely injured. To the point where she has what doctors are calling an adult version of shaken baby syndrome.
Oh, no. Oh.
You know, if you get enough trauma to the head, especially regarding a baby whose heads aren't and nervous systems aren't fully developed, you can damage their spinal cord.
Permanently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has been confined to a wheelchair
oh,
since September of last year.
No.
Since the stunt. And has had to undergo a bone marrow transplant and neck surgery trying to repair the damage.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's awful.
Rosie believes that she will... heal eventually, and she is still committed to her charity work. Apparently, she just met with President Obama this week to talk a national strategy to fight AIDS.
Wow.
But she has been in rough shape since September, and I had no idea.
I feel bad, but anything that keeps her out of the movies is good.
Oh,
wow.
How are you going to be like that?
Wow.
What's your favorite car, Rosie? Isuzu Twoopa. Favorite line of all time. Cameron Diaz and Alex Rodriguez. They are quite the serious couple now, so much so that they're starting to go out on double dates with their couples friends.
Aw, sweet.
They were seen in New York at the 40-40 Club hanging out with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
I'd like to double date with them.
That's a foursome.
Yeah.
Apparently, they were celebrating Yankee CC Sabathia's 30th birthday, and so they were all hanging out having a good time. Speaking of couples, are you guys all invited to Alicia Keys' wedding this weekend?
I was, but I got
a pass because of Comic-Con. I had to decline.
I haven't checked the mail yesterday.
Marrying Swizz Beatz this weekend. It's a little intimate ceremony on a yacht off the coast of the Caribbean. I wish I could go, but I got Comic-Con.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Apparently, Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Oprah Winfrey are all amongst the invited guests who are expected to be there.
I know.
You get Oprah on there, it's just going to go right under.
Oprah's walking up the plank. Heads for the buffet. Oh, you're going to need a bigger boat. And more marriage news. Jenna Fisher recently married her boyfriend, Lee Kirk. The interesting part of the story, I'm sure there's many, but this one caught my attention from People Magazine, is that they were married by Jeff Probst.
What?
That's odd.
Turns out Jeff is an ordained minister from the Universal Life Church.
Hmm.
Ring any bells?
Yeah, turns out we were also ministers.
And probably still are.
You can
pay
once
you're ordained.
It's a very difficult process, though. You do have to send them a dollar.
Right. That's their version of a seminary.
That's it. And then they send you a piece of paper, and you can legally marry people.
That's nuts.
I think still in California. Some states are going, hey, hold on a second. But I think California's still fine with it.
When was the last time you guys did a wedding?
Eden and I used to do weddings.
Was it Lightning, the guy who runs our website?
Maybe it was Lightning when we dressed up like monks.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, I think so.
We used to get requests from time to time, don't you?
We used to try and put comedy into them, and then we started feeling bad because it seems like they should take it a little more seriously than us. So we stopped doing it. But
really?
We did.
Most marriages end in divorce anyway.
Yeah,
who cares,
really?
Might as well have a good time
while
you're doing it.
Right.
Yeah, Jeff did the honors. Apparently, he's done quite a few marriages for his friends and even renewed the vows for his parents' 35th wedding anniversary recently. So that's kind of cool. I've got breaking Jersey Shore news, but I'm out of time.
So
we
have
to wait till the next hour,
like that.
And I will give you all the scoop on what's going on with the Jersey Shore.
Does this have to do with them being on strike?
It does.
Oh, well, then tell us.
I can't.
Oh. You tease.
Well, the strike's over, I think.
Oh.
So far, they have signed... Let me see. Let me double check here. Where's my sheet? See, I wasn't going to do it.
The
Situation and Pauly D have locked in their deals with MTV for the third season, or season 2B.
2B, sure.
As MTV is calling it. And the others apparently are also very close to a deal, so it looks like they will all be returning for...
I don't know how I would have gone on without Jersey Shore continuing forever.
Well, you'll be happy to know, Bean, that apparently they all settled on approximately a deal of $30,000 per episode.
Wow.
That's what they're getting.
That sounds reasonable.
From 10?
Yep.
Was it? Yeah. Wow.
Well, they're talented.
Now, think of how hard they work.
And the talent that they possess.
The talent, yeah.
Can't find that just anywhere.
That's true.
You have to swing a cat in a bowling alley in Jersey to find that kind of talent. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of cats, Yusuf Islam is 62 years old today. For those who don't know, his former performing name used to be Cat Stevens. He was quite the big folk singer
in
the 70s.
Yeah.
Big, big smash hits. Peace Train, you may remember, and other songs that he did.
Wild World,
yeah. But now he's, I think, a terrorist, right?
I don't
know. Blow stuff up?
I don't think so.
No.
You should change that name then. Yusuf Islam is gives him a bad
connotation. You're begging for the no-fly list.
Robin Williams is 59 years old today. Comedian John Lovitz is 53. Actor Josh Hartnett turns 32 years old today. And actor Justin Bartha from the National Treasure movie series is 32 years old today. And Damian Marley, son of Bob, celebrates his 32nd birthday as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is a crazy show today to have Patton Oswalt and Kevin Smith both coming in on the program. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I agree.
An embarrassment of riches. Yes.
It is. Hey, update on the Lindsay Lohan coverage, which has just been spectacular over the last 24 hours. We have that for you in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. I know you're not ready for the 2012 presidential campaign yet, Kevin. I know you...
I hate politics so much. I hate both sides. They both lie. They both say that they're not lying. Only the other people are lying. And I just hate it.
The only reason that we're not full on 24/7 2012 right now is because we still have the speed bump of the 2010 midterm elections to get past first. But you're not going to be able to get away from Sarah Palin because she is everywhere. In fact, listen to this this news clip from a couple of days ago.
This week, Sarah Palin upped an already raucous debate when on Twitter she called on peaceful Muslims to refute the plan, calling it a stab in the heart for America.
They power in their words. They could refute what it is that this group is saying. Yeah.
Liberal bloggers pounced on the made-up word, and Palin retracted her tweet, but not her sentiment, saying Shakespeare liked to coin new words too.
Okay, so that's her defense. The Mama Grizzlies ad is out there. Have you seen that? The presidential ad about the Mama Grizzlies protecting their young. She's got that going on.
Reed sent me an ad from Sarah Palin. She says the word mom, and moms are going to take back the country, and moms this and moms that 1,000 times. And she starts talking about a mama bear and how she protects. And it just was unbearable. It's unbearable.
That's so funny.
She's in campaign mode, and that's why her people contacted us and asked if the former governor of Alaska could join us on the Kevin Bean Show. We're happy to welcome Ms. Palin to the program. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Well, it's always great to speak to members of the lamestream media.
who are always
trying to knock down the regular folks, and I just wanted to have a chance to say my part of it, which I think is what the majority of Americans are really pretty much feeling.
Okay.
Okay. Wink. You have to say wink because we can't see you. Well, Ms. Palin, I'm happy to have you on. I always find you very entertaining. Look, the Shakespeare thing was very funny, but it's okay to say I screwed up. There is no such word as refute. It's okay to just admit that and move on.
Well, I know that's what you'd like to believe, but the fact is Shakespeare invented a lot of words.
Right, but...
And so... I think I can invent some words, too, because I'm sort of like Shakespeare in a lot of ways, like a grizzly bear.
Yeah. If you don't mind my saying, he's Shakespeare, and you're you, and there's a big, 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 big difference.
Not really, because I did a lot of Shakespeare's when I was at Caribou University, when I was in the theater department there.
Oh, you did Shakespeare plays?
I did a lot of it, and I am pretty much an expert on his work.
Oh.
I appeared in Omelet. I was in that.
I'm sorry,
that's
Omelet?
That was called Hamlet was the name of that play.
I did Big Macbeth.
It was just Macbeth, no Big Macs involved.
We did Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, that's a good
again,
one. If you haven't seen that one, that's good.
That's not right either.
Taping of the Screw, which
True.
Is about a sex tape scandal.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I think you misinterpreted that,
the
Governor.
The Tempest Bledsoe.
No.
Natalie Merchant of Venice. Henry IV. Henry IV about getting intravenous drugs.
I think that'd be
good because you get AIDS. I'm not a big fan of the AIDS because you never see a grizzly bear with AIDS.
No.
That's true.
I think you may have missed the point of a bunch of those plays.
And a lot of moms out there saying, oh, I don't want my children to get AIDS. And I say, well, then don't do what Henry IV did, which is use intravenous drugs. Be more like Henry V or Richard III.
Okay. Those are, you
I
understand
think
those?
A Mexican.
No, I
what are you talking about?
I did Shakespeare's at Caribou U, and we did Richard III, and it's about a Mexican.
That's Richard III.
Who I think comes over the border, and he shouldn't because it's illegal. And so I am all behind Arizona's law to keep Richard III out of their state.
Yeah.
Okay. You missed the point of that. Those are just Roman numerals. That's all there. He's just counting. That's all. It's just numbers.
But when the mama grizzly feels that her cubs are being threatened, then look out, mister, because you don't want to be around her.
Right. But what does that have to do with any of our conversation here today?
Because mothers are rearing up like baby grizzlies. And then mother grizzlies, too. A lot of families of grizzlies, they act like. And then they go, arr. And then you can shoot them from a helicopter, you know.
Right.
It's the easiest way to kill them.
Right.
That I found.
Now, it certainly seems fair, too. I know that we only have you for a minute more because you have a very busy schedule, Governor. But what I have to ask, what about Levi Johnston now saying he's going to marry your daughter that he knocked up? I'm dying to know what you think about that.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that fact. That they're getting back together, these two crazy kids. But I have to support my daughter in what she does. And so I decided just to punctuate anything that they have to say.
To what?
To punctuate it.
I don't know what that means.
What? Okay.
It sort of means, you know, to say, what?
All right.
And I stand behind them with all my misconsternation.
Okay, well, that certainly makes it clear for all of us. Governor, always a pleasure to catch up with the Kevin Beach. I hope we talk again soon.
Okay, lamestream media.
Like to dedicate that to Lindsay Lohan?
Oh.
Just saying? Just saying. It's world famous K-Rock at 623.
I gotta get my script made. I can't wait to see what Hollywood does with my
10,000-page screenplay. We'll talk to our window licker, Nick, who has written what promises to be the new Lord of the Rings in about 15 minutes or so. We got exciting news for him coming up on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, Kevin, I know you're excited about the Lindsay Lohan story because you love the constant news coverage of her going behind bars yesterday.
I do. I love any story where they don't have any information, but they go wall to wall.
And they got to be there all day long.
They're there all day.
Coming up with something.
They keep sending it out to reporters who have zero to say. That's my favorite kind of coverage because it's just, it's ridiculous. They're all just guessing. And they can't just run a scroll across the bottom and say, if there's anything new, we'll let you know. They have to do it live. They have to toss it out to reporters like this one who says,
so far, not a whole lot of excitement or a lot of action here.
All right, then why did we send it to you? Would be my question. So then he says,
so now we're just waiting for Lindsay Lohan to arrive here at the courthouse again, scheduled to arrive at 8:30 this morning, waiting to hear her fate and waiting to hear that she will be spending the next 3 months in jail.
How about that? So you already know what her fate's going to be. What are you waiting for?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So then she goes into the courthouse and she, you know, talks to the judge and she leaves. Now she's away from the building. Coverage does not stop, however. Coverage does not stop from that building because...
Officially shackled and taken away. It's going down to the Linwood Jail. Still some media outside the courtroom here. Up in the air, you can see what I'm talking about. An awful lot of activity, even though it is not this way that Lindsay will be exiting. However, it is the way she came in.
All right. I do love that part of his coverage is that there's media there covering the story that isn't happening.
Right. That...
They're covering each other at this point because there's nothing else going on.
That is the way she went in, but not the way she's leaving. They're still at the where she went in just to make sure what? She doesn't run back out the front? I mean, why are they there?
With people chasing her?
So then she gets in a vehicle, it turns out, and she goes on a freeway so that she can get taken to jail.
The action now appears to be on the freeway. We have a live look from the chopper of the vehicle that we believe Lindsay Lohan is in.
Not
we
sure.
have not been able to get confirmation from the sheriff's department as they take her down to the jail.
All right, so now you have a helicopter following a car that you're not sure she's in.
That's the part that drives me the most crazy. That's the thing that
the part I love the most.
As the days have counted down to Lindsay going in, I've said repeatedly, please don't let them live cover the car on the way to jail because that's not news at all. Look, if we spotted Osama bin Laden on the 405 heading to San Diego and we've got a helicopter on him, that's news, okay? That's somebody we don't know, you know, we don't know if we can get him. Lindsay Lohan, she's in custody. She's on her way to jail. There's no story there.
But Bean, there's less of a story than that. You said don't follow the car with her. They don't even know if she's in this car.
Right.
They're just following a car that might be it. So then they have to transition throughout the day to what is it going to be like in that prison. And, of course, they find girls that have been in that prison before and ask them what they think.
Antoinette Rios just wrapped a 30-day sentence here a few days ago. She says Lohan will definitely not like the food, bland and unappetizing.
Well, that's some good insight right there because I thought it was all five-star cuisine.
Yeah.
I thought Gordon Ramsay works at that jail. He just whips up whatever you want 24/7.
A far cry from her fast-driving, paparazzi-evading Mercedes this morning, actress Lindsay Lohan arrived for her next role as an L.A. County jail inmate in an unmarked sheriff's car. At least the windows were tinted.
I don't know what that means.
It was a little snotty.
Is that about being in a...
Yeah, that's high class.
At least the windows were tinted?
Tinted windows.
So now we're getting later in the day, and now they're kind of going back and talking about things that happened. It's not live anymore. So now they, you know, they're telling us what it's going to be like for her in prison.
Yeah, there's fights in there.
Past inmates tell us the actress will be facing a tightly restricted lifestyle behind bars.
Is that right? Wait a minute. She's in jail and they're going to restrict her lifestyle? What? There's my favorite. They go to her lawyer for a comment. And it is a hell of a comment. I mean, this is the piece that's probably going to get played over and over again.
And just a few moments ago, Lindsay Lohan's attorney, Sean Chapman Holly, spoke briefly with reporters after meeting with Lohan throughout the afternoon. And here's what she had to say.
She's a beautiful girl.
All right.
What?
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for that. She is. As she is.
She went in with the old man in the sea. Did you hear that?
No, is that the book?
That was the book she was reading.
Yeah.
And they took it from her because that's contraband. But you can have things shipped from Amazon.com.
What?
While you're in jail.
So you can order the book?
I've learned more about Lindsay Lohan in jail from Lisa May in the last 15 seconds than I have from any of this coverage from yesterday on the TV.
So, of course, everyone's asking, does she have to get the same treatment as everybody else, which is basically bend over and grab your ankles, and we're going to check for contraband.
Right.
As for a strip search, which new inmates must often endure, Whitmore was vague.
Miss Lohan was treated just like any other.
That's not vague as much as it is just saying she was strip searched like everyone else. So then they, again, it's later in the day, and now they're giving us the extended coverage. So they go back to the photo of the helicopter overhead and her showing up to court.
From Sky Fox, we catch Lindsay Lohan en route to the Beverly Hills courthouse.
Here we go.
Her grand entrance is both fashionable and late.
Lindsay!
She's greeted by the gaggle of flashbulbs and fans.
Lindsay, I love you!
I love that guy. Whoever he is, he's kidding. Lindsay, I love you. So then she goes to jail, and the coverage continues.
That's Lindsay in the back of that silver sedan.
Here we go.
Bye-bye, Beverly Hills.
Heading eastbound now.
Lindsay's headed to Lynwood. We track her track and catch paps on bikes, some on foot, trying to get that million-dollar shot. This is Lynn's on the inside, her booking photo, not as glamorous as her magazine covers.
All right. You think?
Paps right. And Lynn's. This guy has no time.
No, he's very, very busy.
Here's
very
the thing. Her booking photo is not as glamorous as some of her magazine covers.
Wow. You mean they didn't airbrush and do perfect lighting?
Really? I mean...
And orange is not a good color for a redhead. Everyone knows that.
That's why I love the coverage, because it's so stupid. They have nothing to say.
No.
Every one of those people we just heard should be in jail, too. That's what I say.
They do say it for a long time, so they have that going for them.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like mother f***ing Tupac.
Indeed. No one's more like mother effing Tupac than our friend Nick, who joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Good morning. I'm excellent.
Is the water still back in the hose? Is Nick 3.0 still firing on all cylinders and life couldn't be any better?
In the hose. In the hose securely.
This is what a comeback looks like.
That's right. This is it right here. We, sign holder Nick used to hold a sign for a living, and then he's written a screenplay, and then we had Amber Heard on, who he loves, and we gave him an opportunity to talk to her.
Because he wants her to star in his film. He's written it for her.
He panicked. Uh-huh. He didn't call. Then he kicked himself for about 2 years. We hadn't heard from him. And then all of a sudden, he ran into her on the street, sent us a photo of her desperately trying to get out of his grasp. And now everything's all good again, and he's ready to...
This is what a comeback looks like! Look, nobody's pulling for you more than we are, Nick. And I know that there are thousands of people out there, especially in Southern California, who have the dream of making it in the movies. And you have at least you've gone the next step and sat down and started typing out a screenplay. And you've been working on it for a long time. And I know you're passionate about it. And it's something that's very, very important to you. And what do you see? What is the next step for you in that screenplay, do you think, once it's finished, Nick?
I'm trying to make it a book, actually, because I thought like a book would be a better way to get Amber Heard's attention.
Okay.
You can just set it on fire and leave it on her doorstep. Do you have any kind of Hollywood insiders? Do you have any kind of representation or somebody professional who can help you with any of this?
I don't have any professional. I was hoping to finish what I had, then try and find like some kind of agent.
You have a professional now, my friend.
Who?
We have a surprise for you. He's in the studio with us. His name is Benjamin Sitzer. And
hear this? That's opportunity knocking, Nick. Ben, tell us a little bit, Ben, and tell Nick on the phone what it is you do for a living, sir.
Hey, good morning. I evaluate screenplays for...
So all day, every day, you read scripts?
All day, I read screenplays, and I report back on them to different executives, managers,
really?
And also producers who use the coverage to decide whether or not they're going to read it.
Now, coverage is the industry term for someone like yourself who would... Read a script.
I've done coverage before.
Take it easy, Nick.
Easy there, Nick. We're talking to the audience now. Coverage is you would read it and then break it down, type up sort of a synopsis for an executive who doesn't have the time to read the whole thing. They can sort of get your feelings about how good a script is or what's in it, right?
I write a synopsis and then an evaluation.
I got you.
Okay.
Okay, so are you the, for folks who are first-time, especially first-time screenwriters, are you the first line of defense? You're how the script eventually makes its way up to somebody who can make it into a film?
Very often, I'm the first person to read a screenplay. The agencies see everything from the worst to the best scripts. The agents, or the producers, they don't have time to read everything, so they use people like me.
How much stock do they put in your review? If you say this is bad, don't read it.
If I say it's terrible, they don't read it.
They don't read it.
I write a rave review, they read it.
All right.
Okay. That's now, tell me what kind of success you've had, and of course, a lot of it's out of your hands. It's you're at the mercy of what you get sent, but have there been any exceptional scripts that you've been the first to get a crack at?
Many, many. I discovered a writer who came out of the UCLA graduate screenwriting program who went on to have a huge career. He's one of the bigger horror writers in town now, and I got him signed with the manager who still represents him today, 10 years later.
All right.
He's made a couple million bucks.
All right.
Can you give us the names of some of the producers you've worked for before? Can you talk about that? Some of the people, names we might recognize?
Yeah, I've worked for William Morris Agency, right. Creative Artists Agency.
Any of the big ones?
Okay, so what should the next step be? I mean, we have Nick on the phone. He is the screenwriter. Would it help you at all or not to hear a little bit about what his screenplay, The Salvation, is about?
Yeah, I'd love to hear. Well, the best thing to do would be to just tell me what the log line is.
All right, Nick, here's your big shot right here. We got a screen.
Log line, okay. It's about this really pretty girl, and, you know, she goes to, like, this rainforest world. It's kind of like Avatar, but it's not like Avatar. It's not like another planet. And basically, there's, like, this very evil... It's very complicated.
Right, but just see if you
can... The log line is supposed to kind of distill that down. Just give us the gist of it.
Just a summary.
And by the way, the log line for It's Complicated was It's Complicated. You can't use that. You got to come up with something else.
No. All right.
All right, beautiful woman... In an environment just like Avatar.
Not entirely.
But not at all
like
Avatar, because it's not a different planet.
She fights an evil.
He's very evil. He's like Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's kind of the inspiration for that character.
Okay.
And basically, it's very glamorous. It's very beautiful. There's lots of interesting characters. It's about basically this bad man murdered a man that this girl loves. And she goes into total shock, and she ends up going to this rainforest world. And she kind of heals herself there personally.
Now, why does she go to the rainforest world?
Basically, this man she loved was an author, and he wrote about like this world, this whole rainforest world in a book.
Right.
And it's basically the same world, and like in his, basically the world from his book is basically this entire the place she goes.
So, a woman, brokenhearted, retreats into a fantasy world to seek revenge on her slain lover.
No, she doesn't seek revenge initially. Like the bad guy.
I gave you an out. Just
Nick,
spit
how many,
in my face.
How many pages do you think The Salvation is at this point?
Probably, thinking like around 300-ish.
Okay, and Ben, tell me what that. Tell me how that compares to most of the screenplays you read.
It's a bad sign. Good screenplays are between 90 and 120 pages. And
oh,
120
wow.
page
I have
ones
to admit,
are.
I intentionally made it into a book because everyone was telling me it's too long.
Right.
And I have read lots of screenplays and I have done coverage myself, and I figured, okay, I have a better shot at making, you know, getting Hollywood's attention, making this into a book because. Not the thing you can explain just like one sentence. It's a very complicated story.
I think even with books, you need to be able to do that, don't you? Explain it with one sentence? I mean, aren't you supposed to be able to just summarize?
At least the big themes, Nick.
Right. So let's go back to your story. So she goes to this forest that's not really a forest. It's kind of like Avatar, but it's not like Avatar. She heals because her man is...
I'm prepared for this. I have like a way... Basically, there's three things I can compare it to. Just put it all together, and that's kind of what it is.
Right, but summarize what it is. She goes to the rainforest, and then what happens?
She goes to the rainforest. She gets better. She heals.
She heals?
Basically, the bad guy shows up. And then, like, he starts killing people. He starts, you know, doing mayhem.
In the forest?
And he's not going to take it, yes.
Okay.
Well, there's also a city in the forest. It's like half forest, half city.
Sure.
Half forest, half city. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, this guy is unrelated to the...
No, this guy killed her boy, the man she loved.
Oh, it's the same guy. Evan? Happens into the
Did
forest.
You pay attention.
Listen, I'm trying.
I missed that, too.
It's the same guy? It's the guy that killed her man?
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, how about a spoiler alert next time, Nick? I was going to read that. All right. Listen, we're almost out of time. How close are you to finishing this screenplay?
I'm like thinking like a month. I'm thinking like a month.
Wait, how long have you been working on it? How long have you been working?
I've been working on it. This draft, I've been working on it since March of last year.
But total.
I've been working on the story much longer, but this actual
right,
version.
But total. All put together. How long have you been working on this project?
A very long time, Kevin.
Is there any way to put it in years?
Is there any units of measurement you can use to see how much time has gone by?
It's ordered to go back to high school. It's ordered high school. To go back to high school.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. Ben is a very, very busy Hollywood professional, and he has heard you on the air and wanted to kind of – and he's an advocate for writers, right, Ben? That's what you said. You'd like to help new talent get discovered. That's part of the thrill for you, right?
I do. And, you know, it's good kind of business currency for me, too, to be able to refer writers to the companies I work for. So,
how does 300 pages strike you?
It's not good.
Here's
the thing, Nick. We're giving you an opportunity to have someone who is working in this industry who has a track record to read your work and maybe move things into the fast track to get this thing possibly purchased and then maybe produced. So we need a screenplay from you.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
But you said you're not done with it, huh?
I need to finish it. I will finish
all right,
it.
How does it end? How does it end? Does she end up killing the guy that killed her man?
You want to know the big plot twist? I can give you the big plot twist.
Well, we were hoping you would give us something.
The big plot twist is that the whole rainforest is like it's like a gateway to heaven.
And she's dead.
Basically, Laura, is the main character. She meets this girl. Basically, the bad guy, the villain, he killed this girl in the real world and in reality, and. Basically, you know, this whole world is kind of like this halfway point between, the physical universe and, heaven and that realm.
Some might call it purgatory.
But the killer shows up there and starts causing mayhem?
Yes, he does.
Do they get off the island? That's what I want to know. Does the others show up in the rainforest? I'm confused.
If she kills this guy, does she go to heaven? Is that it?
It's
complicated.
It's complicated,
Kevin.
It is much better than
No.
I know what it is.
Listen, well, as long as you know what it is, that's all that matters.
Nick, we need you to drop whatever else you're doing, lay off the weed, stop the masturbating, whatever it is that's eating up time that isn't finished in the screenplay, because Ben has a limited window of availability in order to be able to help you. If you want an actual Hollywood professional to read and professionally evaluate your script, you need to get it finished and get it to us, okay?
How soon?
Soon as possible.
How soon, Ben? I'll make time for whenever Nick is ready.
Okay. I'd like to see it within the next couple of weeks, though, Nick.
I can finish this soon.
I think you should put yourself on a deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah, within the next couple of weeks.
I work better on deadlines anyway. I really do.
All right.
Okay. So that's your mission. You've got an in now. You've got somebody who's going to professionally evaluate it. You've got to get it finished and get it to us. Don't let this opportunity get away from you like you did with Amber Heard.
Be sure. When should I be for sure finished?
A week from Friday.
A week from Friday?
Yes.
Really?
All right, Nick. We got to go. Get on it, okay?
I will.
Hang on the phone. Start writing. All right.
All right.
So, bye. Ben, that's awesome of you, dude.
Thank
Very
you.
Very nice of
that's
you.
That's 300 pages awesome of you, dude.
I'm happy to do it.
No, you
I want to give him a shot.
300 pages from now, you won't be so happy.
300 right now. He hasn't finished.
That's true.
He's got another two.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Bush on the way. Also, Brandon Flowers, his solo effort, Audio Slave, and our friend Patton Oswalt joins us in minutes here on the program. Right now, Rob's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
So a broken-hearted lover retreats to a fantasy world to seek revenge for her slain boyfriend.
No! That's not it!
Try to help a brother out. What do you get? Pooey! Right in the face.
Oh.
That's what he did. That's spit, Mike.
Oh.
Miley Cyrus isn't friendly.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, according to Star Magazine, she doesn't sign autographs for anyone. Little kids or anything, they come up to her, she won't sign autographs. She's too big for that, Kevin.
Huh.
But she did make an exception recently because she went to a restaurant early in the morning and wanted to order off the dinner menu.
Okay.
But the chef was making breakfast.
Right. Hey, we don't serve that
they
now.
We don't serve
that.
That now.
Right.
So she said, I will sign an autograph for you if you will make me dinner.
Wow. That's ballsy.
And he did it.
No, that's
too bad. That's the problem.
That's too bad.
That's the problem.
That is
that people keep reinforcing this kind of behavior. I would have said, yeah, well, come back and help me. And I would have got a meat cleaver and whack right in the forehead. That's what I would have done. Yeah. Now you got two personalities. Now you're Hannah Montana. You're split in half, literally. I probably would have gone to jail if I'd done that.
Yeah.
Skinny little bitch.
When will they learn?
Who's they?
The people who tattoo each other's names on each other's bodies when they're dating?
Never. Never.
Brody Jenner and Avril Lavigne is the latest case. Star Magazine says that Brody's got a new tattoo of Avril's name and a star on his left forearm.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
Rumor is she got his name tattooed on her ribs.
On her ribs?
Oh, no. Oh,
that's got to hurt, right?
Yes.
Yeah, badly. But at least she can hide it.
But at least they'll be in love
once
forever.
Once they break up.
And they'll never break up now because they've tattooed each other's names on their bodies.
He's got his own name on his ribs in huge font.
Really?
As if he would forget. He's got Jenner down the side of his body like a banner. I mean, it's huge.
Maybe that's for when he drinks and blacks out.
So they can...
Yeah.
They put your name on your underwear.
Found.
It's like being tagged. They check his ID and then bring him home.
He just hasn't put his phone number on there yet. He's going to.
That's bad news for them, right?
I think Mike knows a lot about the real estate of every guy in Hollywood's body, by the way. Have you ever noticed that?
Yep.
Only the guys, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
Another day, another crappy reality show. Aubrey O'Day.
No.
Yes.
Who was the singer of Danity Kane.
Yes.
The group that was discovered by Diddy on the Making the Band show on VH1.
She was sort of hot, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Way hot. Way hot. I don't know them, but I love her.
She's got her own reality show coming on the Oxygen channel this fall called The Aubrey O'Day Project. It follows her attempt, according to Oxygen, to make a comeback in the music business. In order to make a comeback, don't you have had to have been somewhere first before you can go back there?
A little bit.
I believe that Danity Kane had a couple of number one hits, Ralph.
I
think they did have some success.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
That's what I believe. And another day, another weird movie in the works for Tim Burton. Tim's working on a movie called Monsterpocalypse. Apparently it's based on a board game. And the plot has humanity developing giant robots to defend the planet against giant invading aliens.
All right.
I'm in.
Can those robots turn into vehicles? Because I think I may have seen this already.
Yeah.
But Tim Burton sounds like this is the kind of movie that's right up his alley.
Yeah, he's...
So I want to check that out.
He's brilliant.
And who would you pick to replace Oprah on the daytime talk show circuit?
Precious?
Precious, yes. No, apparently there's two new daytime talk shows in the works competing with each other. Valerie Bertinelli and Jenny McCarthy both want to be the new Oprah. Wow. Really?
That's it? Those are our choices?
Yes, apparently those are our choices.
I'm so fat.
I don't want to see either of them talk to anyone.
Yeah. Ralph, I Wikipedia'd it for you. Danity Kane had two number one albums, one in 2006 and another in 2008.
Yeah, but both really?
Well, I'm just...
I'm saying, but really.
I'm saying they had some success. I've never heard any of their music. I'm sure
that's
it sucks.
That's what I'm saying. If I said to anyone in any room, name me the biggest Danity Kane hit you can ever think of.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a room full of douchebags, no one's coming up with anything.
I don't know, but the lead singer is hot.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all I know.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Cat Stevens is 62 years old today. Now, ask me to name a Cat Stevens hit. Oh, I'm all over it.
That's great.
Moonshadow?
Yeah, don't
boom.
Care.
Peace Train, Booyakaka.
Don't care.
He is now known as Yusuf Islam. He is 62 years old today. Robin Williams is 59 years old. John Lovitz turns 53. Josh Hartnett is 32, as is actor Justin Bartha. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hi, this is Patton Oswalt. I got to start working out or just making up creepy excuses so no one bothers me again. Like, you know, I absorbed a twin in the womb. There's nothing I can do. And he's like, if I did crunches, his face would show through. This is a guy, he's on the King of the Queens.
Got to be a dad now.
Now.
I am a walking, terrible example. That's all I am.
You'll have no incentive to do anything. She's my fat ass. Well, you got on TV. Who gives a shit? Especially now, I'm on the borderland of B-word fat, which is that's the kind of fat where people can tell that you're fat if they just hear you talking. They don't need to see you. And if you say words that start with B, you just give it away. Or you can be on the phone going, I bought the bracelet. And I bought it at Haley Bankston Bitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, Patton Oswalt.
There are there are very few places that Patton Oswalt can go where he's not the biggest geek in the room, but Comic-Con is one of them, and he's going to be heading down there today, along with Ralph Garman, the whole Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from there on Friday. How are you, Patton? Good to see you, man.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm. Thanks, man. I'm actually looking forward to being the equivalent of a jock for the next few days down in San Diego.
Now, you've been to Comic-Con before, of course.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We are first-timers on Friday. Are we going to love it, or are we going to be horrified by it and never want to return?
Love it. That's, you know what? I think part of you will love it, and part of you is going to be weirdly exhausted by the constant visual It is a visual assault.
That's what I love.
Yeah, but you're
I'm not sure Bean will be happy with it, though.
It's nonstop It's a weird combination of really hot chicks in skimpy science fiction costumes.
Great.
Okay. And then, all right.
And then morbidly obese guys
in the same outfits.
In outfits that are meant for kind of ectomorphs with muscles.
Okay.
So you get to see that, and then kind of people that have clearly jury-rigged their Renaissance fair costumes to sort of make it science fiction-y.
Yeah.
It's like if the cantina scene in Star Wars was the size of a football field but only had a budget of $50. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Matt, you've been going for a long time. I've been going for a long time at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are the guys who would make fun of us. They would mock our people for many, many years.
By the way.
And now they're going to be down there reaping the benefits of what it has to
offer.
That's
very true, but we're not going to stop making fun.
You are going down there because now it has become the richest watering hole.
Correct.
Yeah. So now you're there. It's like you're like a couple of old lions stalking the gazelle that's dressed like Boba Fett, basically, because you know that he's slow moving and has
he's been
delicious,
left by the herd.
Yeah, delicious marbly fat from playing World of Warfare,
Warcraft.
Yeah. That's the one world I haven't stepped into yet. Is the
World of Warcraft?
World.
Don't go there.
The games.
Don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Now you're doing the Tron panel. Sometimes there's an obvious connection between the person hosting, like Ralph is doing the Dexter panel because he has Showtime, so he watches Dexter.
Right.
So that's why
right.
he gets to host the panel. What's your connection to Tron?
You saw the movie once, right?
Yeah. My connection to the Tron panel is they asked me to do it, and I was very excited to do it.
Well, Tron is sort of a seminal film for we sci-fi / comic book geeks.
And I do stress seminal. from what I remember, it's Tron where Dustin Hoffman dresses as a lady.
Incorrect.
And then Meryl Streep wants to take his daughter. Warren Beatty
versus Tootsie
go to
of.
The desert and with a camel?
No. The video game. I played this for so many hours.
The stand-up one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stand-up game was actually pretty groovy because you got to play three different games.
You got to be in the light cycle.
Yeah. And then you got to play the ring game.
Yeah.
Guys, when did Tron come out?
When did
the first Tron?
82 or something, right?
What year? 82, 83?
82?
But it was the first movie that used computer graphics as special effects.
And it is kind of eerie that, you know, movies like Network and stuff like that were supposedly going to predict the future that we would be living in, did not, in my opinion, did not hit it as close as Tron did.
Tron nailed it, didn't it?
Not only did Tron nail it, but Tron represents a future that a big part of the population would still very much love to live in, where there are guys at Comic-Con that you'll see it in their eyes, I wish I could be sucked into a video game. I could be lighter than air and ride a cycle that I will to existence with my mind. Like, you'll see a lot of that. So, and last week they showed me the footage they're going to be showing at Comic-Con, and it is pretty amazing. I put the 3D glasses on. They show me what they're going to be showing. And there's a thing. I don't want to spoil one of the surprises in the Tron footage that they're showing, but there's a thing that they do with Jeff Bridges that is pretty freaky.
Pretty freaky? What does that mean?
I mean, freaky in that you're going, oh, this is an amazing leap forward in special effects that they've just done, and I'm not sure I'm 100% behind it.
I think I know what you're talking about, because I think it's in the trailer. I've seen it in the trailer.
You mean they've never tried something like this before?
Well, no, they've tried it, and it's never, in my opinion, never really worked.
Okay.
So there's a trailer online.
Yeah, that shows youthful Jeff Bridges.
Okay,
right?
Good.
They young him up with special effects.
They young him up, and it looks like they found a 30-year-old Jeff Bridges to be in the movie. Not one of those weird, like, welcome to the Polar Express. And people are like, wow, you can't tell the difference. I'm like, oh, I can, because my penis just shrank into my chest, and I'm totally frightened. Like, this looks like a 30-year-old Jeff Bridges just hanging out. Same. They got every detail right.
Wow.
It's really eerie.
Yeah.
And I'm just it'll be interesting to see how the crowd reacts to it. What it makes me wonder is, well, are we never going to have old actors again?
Right.
Or are they just going to, when someone is young and hot and huge, will they just save all their...
Just scan them?
Yeah, scan them and then go, okay, we've got young George Clooney forever now. forever.
That's a good question.
And then put George out on a farm somewhere and just have his image make movies forever.
Please,
I like
release
it.
Me.
Patton, were you surprised, and maybe you don't even have an opinion on this, I was surprised that Jeff Bridges wanted to come back and reprise his Tron role. I mean, it just seems like his career has moved so far past that kind of movie. It just really shocked me that he was into it.
Well, except that I think when they – based on the footage that I saw, I think that they presented him a really intriguing acting challenge in this. So that is – I think that's probably what drew him back.
Plus, Bean, you're also thinking of Jeff Bridges, now Oscar winner, Crazy Heart. You have to remember, he did Stick It, the teenage acrobatics film a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff's been known to work for a paycheck from time to time.
But also, I mean, he is – Tron is like in a weird way like The Big Lebowski in that it became a very influential, much quoted. They're running a package that shows the kind of cultural seismic effect of Tron. I didn't know that it's been referenced in so many things, and
terminology they use has been absorbed into like the world of software manufacturing and computers, where they use those terms that were made up for a movie.
Yeah, for a fun kind of kiddie Disney movie, really did sort of sink deep into our culture in a really weird way. So yeah, that's I'm hosting that panel, and I mean
we need to take a break. Hang on 1 second. The panel is
I'm not done talking. No, go ahead.
The panel is Thursday at 11:15, Hall H, San Diego Convention Center. If you'd like to see that, and Pat.
Can people still buy tickets, by the way, to come down to Comic Con, or is it sold out?
Comic Con sold out, has been for months now.
Oh, so we can promote it all we want. Nobody listening can go unless they already.
But
have
the
tickets.
Folks that are going to Comic Con need to line up for the panels that they want to see about an hour or two ahead of time in order to get in.
Way more than an hour or two ahead.
Well, I'm saying best case scenario.
Yeah.
So if you're going down and you want to see the Tron, it's good to have that information.
You have to get there today.
Yeah,
in line
last night.
All
actually.
Right, Patton Oswalt is here. We'll be.
Oh, go to Kevin and guys, I'm sorry. I was just given a new. I just got a new traffic update here.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. On the 405 South near San Diego, a replica version of a Jawa sandcrawler has tipped over on its side, and police are saying there are two Tuscan Raiders inside. So not only is this blocking two lanes, this is an anomaly. This is an anachronism. Tuscan Raiders do not ride in sand crawlers, so they're
obviously
they're trying to reroute a lot of the nerds so as not to cause any road rage incidents. So if you if you are traveling to San Diego, stay off that spur of the 405 again.
That's a great tip.
Tuscan Raiders are inside of the sand crawler mock-up.
Okay.
And so there could be rage incidents.
Traffic update from our friend Patton Oswalt right there on the Kevin Amin Show. Listen, go to kevinamin.com to find out the exact address and details of where we are going to be broadcasting Friday if you want to come on down and see us. Some of our guests, by the way, at Comic-Con include Rob Corddry talking about Children's Hospital, that awesome new show. Jason Schwartzman will be there talking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Kevin Smith, who is going to be here in a half an hour, is also going to be down with us on Friday at Comic-Con. Adam Sessler talking about, from G4, talking about the video game. Seth Green from Robot Chicken. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg from Green Hornet will be on our show. Will Ferrell and Adam McKay from The Other Guys. Michael C. Hall from Dexter. It's going to be an unbelievable time for us down in San Diego.
Anyone in a Boba Fett costume with an exposed midriff can drop by the Kevin and Bean booth and get a free Werther's candy. Werther's hard candy.
Female.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to see a dude's midriff.
I don't think you're going to be giving out any Werther's hard candy.
All right.
But that's okay.
Hey, Patton, is it true that the internet has exploded today talking about you being in the next Harold and Kumar movie? Is that true?
Is it?
Kumar and Patton.
There was one mention. Relax.
Yeah, they announced it a few weeks ago. But people the internet exploded in a massive. it was pretty crazy. Yeah, the Twitter server actually rolled its eyes.
The
Twitter bird actually rolled its eyes like, oh, great.
Two O's in Google just looked up and sort of went up.
Oh, good. He can buy more Absolute Planetaries. That's good for him.
So it sounds like you're excited about the opportunity.
They asked me to do it. I was in Chicago, and they said, hey, can you fly out the next day to Michigan? And I flew out, and Cal and John are – it was – again, those guys are so, like – relaxed to work with in a movie, and it is a lot of, hey, let's just mess around here and see what happens. And I play I have a brief cameo as an iconic beloved Christmas figure with a little sideline. Okay. I'll just leave it at that, if that makes
Christmas
sense.
Christmas figure. Iconic Christmas figure. I can't, can't put my finger on that one.
Is it, wait, Jingle Bell John? That guy?
Do you play that character like you did your Broadway play that Lisa went to go see?
Yeah,
you
gotta be me.
She
bought tickets. And I said, I have only time for three shows, and you were on the list.
Must you bring up the pain of my theater life?
The pain of your theater life. So the week before, I go to get the tickets, and they say, oh, there's no show. Yeah. What are you talking
about?
You must
have been jammed up, Lisa. There's no shows on Broadway to see.
I know. What else? What are you going to do? I was weeping into a scarf somewhere.
What happened to you, Patton?
It wasn't. Trust me, it wasn't me. It had nothing to do with me.
Megan Mullally?
It was other. There were meltdowns I wasn't involved in.
Oh, did you
just
see him at least?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well,
see, that would have been nice.
Yes,
I could at least seen a meltdown.
Was it diva-ish actor behavior?
Was it like Mel Gibson-ish
issues or what?
Mel Gibson-ish.
I got to go home. I got to take my dog back to Burbank, so I was happy. By the way,
the talking about this.
No. Yeah, oh yeah, speaking of Comic-Con, no, but you were asking, like, you know, why would Jeff Bridges do Tron or stuff? He was on the panel last year. He's on the panel again this year. He looks so tickled and amused to, like, when I saw him on the panel, because it was clear that he had just walked the floor or looked around at the weirdness. So I almost think that, I'm assuming he bungee jumps into a bong before every one of these panels. He could not be happier to see guys. And on last year's panel, Johnny Depp just walked out just to, you know, say hi during the Tim Burton section. And then we were hanging out afterwards. We're all of us in the green room, not him and I. We weren't like, he was like, yeah, let's go get a wrap. No, we were all hanging out.
Might as well go with you and him.
But he said, he goes, hey, I want to walk around on the floor. And his handler was like, no, you really shouldn't go walking around on the floor because you'll be mobbed. So what he did was, yeah, I think he went and got a cheap Jack Sparrow costume that you would buy at a comic store. Put that on and then walked around. And people, he literally got looks like, look at this idiot.
Dude,
because there are Jack Sparrows down there that are really detailed. And,
you will find, anywhere else, the biggest costume snobs in the world at the Comic-Con.
If Jeff Bridges put on, like, a cheap dude costume from Big Lebowski, he could walk around and there'd be 50
No one
of
would
them.
Recognize him.
They would just go, oh, yeah, that's another guy trying to be a dude.
These sure people work good. All year long to putting their costumes together. Have you seen the War Machine costume? It's been on the internet, the
it's
video
ridiculous.
Of it.
I mean, you know they must freeze frame these movies and get... Well,
there's a guy who has built himself from the Iron Man 2 film a War Machine suit of armor that functions.
Really?
The gun comes up and rotates and everything. And
does it shoot bullets?
Full-blown. It does everything except shoot.
Oh. It shoots Twinkies.
Twinkies. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. Into his mouth while he's watching Dark Shadows.
That's the kind of dedication these guys get.
They work on that for a full year to go down there?
Easily.
And then
easily,
they get down there and they're in it for like 2 hours and they go, wow, this is uncomfortable. I gotta get this off.
They don't take it off, though. They don't take it off. They get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Love these people.
Ralph, why are you not wearing your Batman suit down there?
Because I am a big, fat, doughy Irishman who does not look good in tights. Yeah, basically.
All right.
Yeah. Couldn't you be like Batman after like a bender, like when he's lost Robin and he's really kind of sad? He's like,
20 years later.
I've really been carving out. I'm kind of letting the Batmobile do the work these days. I just sort of run into people. I can't. My knees are killing me.
You don't
want
to have to give him a backstory to explain your costume.
Alfred, order me another pizza.
I remember when Batman and Robin came out, I was writing on this sketch show, and one of the actors said, you know what would have been objectively a better movie than Batman and Robin? Take that money, put Marlon Brando in a Batman costume.
Yes.
And just film him with a handheld video camera running around Times Square trying to get the vendors to give him free food for 2 hours. Just, let me have a pretzel. Get away from me. But I'm Batman. No, you're not. You're fat idiots. Come on. Give me a hot pretzel for free.
Maybe that's my costume this year. Marlon Brando Batman.
I like it.
There are actually on the panel that I'm doing just like last year, there are two huge surprises coming out that it's a Tron panel, and then there's two other surprises.
All right. Are they related to Tron, though? They are, right?
No.
They're not related to Tron.
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Well, if you're going to Comic-Con, you can see Patton Thursday. That's tomorrow at 11:15, Hall H of the San Diego Convention Center.
One of them rhymes with Barris Bilton. And I can't imagine. It's going to upset a lot of Wonder Woman fans. Let's put it that way.
Don't even throw that out there. Comic-Con 2010, see the Tron Legacy panel with Patton Oswalt. Patton, it's so awesome that you stopped in to see us today.
Hey, if you're in San Diego, Friday night I'm at the House of Blues for two shows.
What? No kidding.
I'm doing two shows at the House of Blues with some very special guests. So, hey.
Bury the lead.
Yeah, why don't you tell us that ahead of time?
Well,
we have to say goodbye to you.
Something we can sell. All right, yeah. Go to the House of Blues San Diego website. Buy my tickets, see my comedy show. I wonder if people are going to come in costume.
What do you think?
That would be awesome.
I expect you to be in costume as well.
I want to see a lot of Neos and Harry Potters in the front row.
You should give a discount. Come in costume. They take a couple bucks off. That's what you should do.
Well, I'll be signing the posters after the show. There's this guy, Bill Sienkiewicz, made a really awesome poster. And trust me, the nerds out there are all hovering right now when they heard that name.
Is that right?
So, you know, has done the animation for the Dexter webisodes. They're going to be on the Showtime
website
this year.
He showed me some of the art. That's right.
He does amazing work.
Okay. We're going to move the rest of this conversation to the podcast for you guys, okay?
All right. Sorry, guys. Oh, I'm sorry. Do we need to roll in a new Linkin Park song? Am I talking over... talking over an Avenged Sevenfold right now?
Not new, but old.
All right.
That's what we have to get to.
8 o'clock, 10:30 show, House of Blues, San Diego, Friday night. Come see me.
Patton Oswalt, you're the best. Thank you, man. Thanks. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:40.
Our next pro was also a first-round pick. After six seasons in Boston, he was signed by the Lakers, where he helped them win three NBA championships. He is the prettiest pro ever to play on Pros vs. Joes. Ladies, especially ladies, forget about your gentlemen. Rick Fox!
Prettiest pro.
Hey, I know some gentlemen pretty excited about this. I mean, we got Psycho Mike's attention right now with Rick Fox on the phone, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rick, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys.
Great to talk to you. Pros versus Joes is a song that's been around, a show that's been around on the Spike Channel for a number of years, a number of incarnations, and it is back Wednesdays at 10, and you are participating. Tell us about it, Rick. What are you doing?
In a new format, actually. And maybe I'm speaking out of tune there with saying a new format, just new challenges. You got a couple Joes that aren't so average. They're average in the sense that they never play professional basketball, but they play professional football.
Oh, I see.
That's Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens, and Antonio Gates. So,
and they're going to play a basketball game.
Yeah, well, actually, we've got a few basketball skill challenges, which end then in a basketball competition of 3-on-3 basketball.
So, wait, are they playing opposite you and some of the other former pros like Hakeem Olajuwon and Brett Berry and people like that?
Hakeem Olajuwon, Kenny Smith, and myself match up opposite Terrell Owens, Donovan McNabb, and Antonio Gates.
And then you strap on the pads and play them in football?
I was hoping that would be the case. Didn't happen. Probably better for my body that it didn't happen.
This is an interesting twist because Pros versus Joes was always the Joe was the guy who said, oh, I could do that.
Right.
It looks easy. And then they would get out there with the pro, and it was not easy at all.
Right.
No, but these guys are professional athletes, so at least they have the physical talent to at least attempt to do what we do as basketball players, and so it makes for interesting watch because these guys actually play extremely well.
I was going to say this is one of those things where you really can't win because if you win, you're supposed to, and if you don't, you got beat by football players.
Right, and so you have to be you have to want to get a T.O. and a Donovan McNabb and an Antonio Gates autograph. That helps. so you come away with some cash and prizes, but at the same time it is an opportunity to really for yourself see if you still got something left. It's one thing to watch a football and to think that you could play it, but to take a hit from these guys without pads alone and see what that feels like is a challenge. But then even for them, the opportunity to see if they could take their football skills and talents and see if they match in a basketball
set. I imagine any pro in any sport has to be a great athlete and probably plays pretty well in other sports.
Yeah, I think you can definitely mask physicality and talent and keep up with speed or strength. The skills are definitely then the differentiator. Can a football player who's played basketball in high school play against pro guys that did it professionally? And can we, as athletes in our late 40s, compete against current day, you know, football players who are at their prime.
This is the voice of Rick Fox, three-time NBA champion, on the phone on the Kevin Amin Show talking about pros versus Joes. He appears on tonight on the Spike Channel at 10 o'clock. Rick, every once in a while you'll see an athlete who'll come along. There's that kid who plays football for the Chargers who also used to be in the Chicago Cubs minor league organization. Looked like he had a promising baseball career for a while. You see these guys who are split between the love of two sports. Was there ever anything you wanted to play besides basketball when you were coming up?
I wanted to play football, but I really wasn't allowed.
What do you mean, by your parents?
I came up in an era where you kind of focused on one sport if you had any desire to be great at it. Yeah, I had really good athletic ability for the sport. I could have been a good tight end, but I just never got the opportunity to. So I always watched as a fan and wished I had played. And today's athlete is a little different. You'll see some of these guys, the younger athletes in their late teens are competent in more than one sport, and then they, you know, find themselves having to choose. I was just great at one. I didn't have that tough decision.
Well, it's better than we're great at none. So even an easier decision for us.
And it sounds like you chose well. Hey, real quick, I have to ask, just because we have you on so close to the Lakers winning yet another championship, how close are you to those guys, and how much are you still involved with the team as an alum?
Yeah, as they've gone forward and continued to play, Kobe Bryant, Derek Fisher, Phil Jackson, and Brian Shaw and the staff, they're all guys I won my three championships with, so I root for them as if I still played, and so I celebrate in maybe a little different fashion than, you know, the fan that, you know, that watches from the court side. Even though I am a fan now, I know and have a little sense of what's going on in the locker room. I still have, you know, the locker room access that I'm sure a lot of people would like to have.
Sure.
Their fans of the Lakers. I get
sure.
to still walk back and see Kobe and Derek and talk to them and catch up and get the true sense of, you know, what they feel their chances are and what the game plan is shifting.
But
it's been nice to follow the last few years.
But they don't like the girl sitting to your right who has a Celtics shirt on. They don't like her in there, do they? I mean, they don't let her in.
You know, she.
You know what I mean?
During that run, of, you know, the last 2 weeks between the Lakers Celtics, she was very adamant about who she was rooting for, which made our time around the house, you know, pretty competitive.
I'm sure.
We talked about that on the show, Rick, and we thought, you know what? I know some people who aren't spending too many nights together right now. I know some people who are going to say, "I'll see you in 2 weeks." That's what we figured was happening.
You know what? It got testy. I'll say this. You know, it's rare that she and I get in an argument or
sure.
that we have a testy day.
Sure.
That we were in Australia the night the Lakers won the seventh game. We were watching the game. We didn't have a good day that day.
And by that you mean she didn't have a good day.
No, because as you know, in a relationship, you know, if one person's, especially if your girlfriend's pissed off,
you don't walk around going, "Won again, we won again."
I couldn't pull out my jersey and taunt her freely.
Right. We have Rick Fox on the phone. Pros versus Joes is tonight, Wednesday at 10 o'clock on Spike. I do want to ask you one last question, if you don't mind, and I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, but the LeBron James thing. What do you think about how he handled it? What do you think about the Miami chances of winning a championship this year?
I see. First of all, how he's handling it is, I think he's still attempting to handle it. I'm sure he didn't foresee this backlash. It's left for a lot of debate and conversation about his individual legacy, but he'll also, I think, ultimately be defined by whether or not he wins championships, and he knows that, and so he's putting himself in what he feels is the best situation by pairing himself with those two individuals. But, you know, their team is yet to be, I think, filled out. It still needs, chemistry has to be developed. It's going to take time. I think their chances this year to win are greater than 20, you know, eight other teams. I think the Lakers are still, my estimation, the favorite. They have done it. They have a great roster. They have guys that have won now two years in a row. So I wouldn't bet against the Lakers.
Rick Fox, thank you for your time. Pros versus Joes tonight at 10 on Spike. Good luck to you. Always great to catch up with you on the Kevin Amin Show.
6.7 K-Rock, it's K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:58.
Comic-Con.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Our Comic-Con pre-show continues with Kevin Smith, practically the king of the geeks, coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, his right-hand man, Ralph Garman, joins us for the Showbiz Beat.
We really, today is sort of
Comic-Con geek royalty, because we had Patton Oswalt, who I think is the prince of the geeks.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And then you do have Kevin, who is the king.
Okay. King of the geeks, right?
Yeah. And I like to think of myself as a you know.
You're a loyal foot soldier.
No, I think more than that. I think I'm like a duke. Yeah.
Duke. Yeah.
Or
you couldn't be like a court jester or something, maybe?
Or you know, one of the knights at the round table or something, you know? I sort of serve at the pleasure of the king, but I'm there. I'm in the court.
You're like Minister of Defense. You know, because you're like the badass of those dudes.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
yeah,
badass.
Minister of Geek Defense.
Yeah. Right.
That's a hard job, defending the geeks, by the way. It's not easy.
This is what Comic-Con geeks do, Kevin, is they sit around and give themselves titles.
Oh, I know.
Oh, this is what they do. You know what? We're going to kick your ass, Friday. How about that? How about all the geeks rise up and just beat you just beat the snot out of you?
Hey, there's going to be a lot more of you than there are going to be of me, so I expect that.
Who would you take is Kevin Smith Bean fight?
Kevin Smith Bean fight?
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Oh, man.
Kevin that Smith in a heartbeat.
I think I could take him.
No way. Bean's not
absolutely
a fighter.
Yeah, but Kevin Smith
is not a fighter,
seriously,
really, either.
He seriously gets tired walking down the
hall. Yeah, but he's DJ Spina Bifida.
I know.
That's why we're saying it's a coin
easy.
Flip.
No, not even a coin flip.
Well, maybe we'll answer that question
90-10.
When we talk to Kevin in a little bit. Speaking of which, we said it was sold out, the Comic-Con. I was alerted during the song that some people have bought pre-purchased tickets for the event.
Right.
And then can't go.
Right.
And you can cancel your membership for the weekend. You can cancel your pre-purchased tickets.
Okay.
And then Comic-Con, in turn, puts those tickets back on sale, makes them available again. So if you go to the website, they are constantly updating whether they have any availabilities for any of the days, single tickets or weekend passes for the show. So
and
if you're
change.
Interested in going, you still may be able to check from time to time, see if they have any. So just want to give you a heads up. Speaking of Comic-Con, interesting comic book movie news coming out of the Realmcast.com website. Apparently, Batman 3, they are in talks about who's the villain will be in the third Batman movie with Christian Bale.
Right.
Apparently, the Riddler, insiders say, will be the third villain. And in talks to play the Riddler, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, yeah.
Great
he's
choice.
He's the guy from Inception?
He's the guy from Inception,
yeah. That's a good idea.
He is a great actor. He's intense. He's got that wiry frame. He could be an interesting Riddler, depending on what they do with the character.
Now, I seem to remember the Jim Carrey incarnation of the Riddler as just being horrific.
Oh, so hard.
Really,
to watch.
Really annoying, right?
Horrible. Horrible.
It was the opposite of good.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Also, Bruce Greenwood has announced that the new Star Trek movie is to begin shooting in January of 2011. So they're
already let's stop that from happening.
What?
Why?
Well,
Star Trek was great.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought you said Star Wars. Okay.
Oh, no.
Star Trek. Yeah, I'm in. Great. Good. Great news.
Oh, we're so going to beat the snot out of you on Friday.
Star Trek, Star Wars, they're the same.
Oh God. Speaking of movies we want to stop, how about the Justin Bieber movie?
Is there one?
Oh.
There is talk about Justin Bieber making his first film playing Justin Bieber in a biopic about his rise to fame.
No. Yeah, I'd rather die. Bieber fever.
He will play himself in the story of how he went from internet sensation to worldwide superstar.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
I don't think he's a good enough actor to pull that off.
Apparently the project is being compared to Eminem's 8 Mile. Which, of course, was a fictionalized version of his early career.
Yeah,
and so we'll get a Bieber fever overlook for the Bieber film.
Will we find out how he gets his haircut?
Oh, I sure hope
so. That'd
be
so great.
He puts his he uses a Flowbee, and then he puts his head under one of those hand dryers in a men's room. He just turns the nozzle towards his face and just dries it. After he taps a couple times under the stall.
Yeah!
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Anybody with me?
Well, it's not all bad. At least you got a cherry coat.
Are you like Kevin? Were you just deeply, deeply confused by Inception?
How dare you? I understood it.
You're not
a
alone.
Lot of it.
You're not alone. A lot
I would
of
like to see it again, though.
Are coming out of the theater scratching their head a little bit at some of the plot points of Inception. It's a dense film. There's a lot going on. I could see where you may come away with a few questions, but this led a website called Love Film to ask its online participants to poll, excuse me, they polled their online participants and asked them to list the top 10 most confusing films of all time.
Well, that's
good
idea.
Pretty good list. Number 10 is Clockwork Orange. I don't know if you've ever seen that Stanley Kubrick film, but that is ha 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 up.
Yeah.
Revolver is the ninth movie on that list.
Yeah. Is that the one that Madonna's husband made?
No. No. Revolver is... Oh, damn it.
That doesn't matter.
I'm at a loss for details.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
2001, A Space Odyssey. Another Kubrick film was eight.
That's the first one I thought. I don't care how many times I see it. I still have no idea what's going on.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Michael Gondry film with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, that was weird.
Loved it, though.
12 Monkeys. You ever see that with Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Terry Gilliam. Memento.
Yes.
Speaking of Christopher Nolan, that is that could be a potentially confusing film. The Matrix Revolutions. The third in the Matrix film where you kind of find out he's living in a pod or isn't he or what? He's living in goop. What's happening?
At least am I speaking a little
bit. Very well done.
Donnie Darko is third on the list.
Honked up.
Yeah, way honked up.
So honked up, yeah.
That giant bunny still gives me the heat.
I don't get that at all.
Number the second most confusing film of all time, according to this list, Mulholland Drive, from our good friend David Lynch.
That just plain makes zero sense. I mean, no one came out going, oh, yeah, I understand that.
I got what that was about.
Right. No one.
And I think David Lynch is fine with that. I don't think he meant for it to make sense.
No. He's not a big... sense is not a big priority for Lynch. He likes the feel more than he likes the strict sort of.
I liked the movie very much.
I did too.
I did too, but I don't know why and what it meant.
And number one most confusing movie of all time, I would have to agree with this. And it's really bad too. Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise.
Yeah! Oh, that was terrible.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was terrible.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible on every level.
What are you, a expert?
Well, not really.
Don't be scared off to Inception, by the way, by this talk, because it is great movie.
Brilliant.
Even if you don't understand all of the plot and twists and stuff, it's so great.
It's really just mostly Kevin, really. That's
How
what I'm
dare
saying.
You?
Jennifer Aniston has a stalker, and it's not Bean. Imagine my surprise.
Wow.
I've been replaced?
24-year-old Jason Payton is his name. TMZ.com reports he was arrested after he was spotted prowling around Jennifer's Hollywood Hills home.
That's a sad downside to fame. Those losers.
You know what? If you put a gun to my head right now and said, find me Jennifer Aniston's house, I wouldn't be able to do it. But these stalkers seemed to have no problem sussing out that information.
Yeah.
Anyway, when they caught him, he had a sharp object in his pocket, a roll of duct tape.
Oh.
And several other questionable items in his pockets. So
I can explain every one of them.
He had the starter kit. He had the Bean Baxter starter kit.
He bought duct tape. Online from Bean?
Remember the guy who went to Spielberg's house had the same thing, had the roll of duct tape and everything. There's certain accoutrements that they all seem to carry with them.
Look, I have a very successful side business running chloroform.com. These are my people. I know what you're talking about here.
Payton is considered dangerous and violent. He stabbed himself in the past, and he hit his mother with a golf club.
Wait, he stabbed himself?
In one incident, and then hit his mother with a golf club in the past.
Wow.
Payton has also been institutionalized before. He's been ordered to take antipsychotic drugs, but he often stops taking them.
Good.
He reportedly believes he's related to Oprah.
Good.
Nelson Mandela, Jay-Z, Jennifer Lopez, Courtney Cox, Bill and Melinda Gates, both President Bush's, and Donald Trump.
He's related to all those
people?
He's
related to all those people, yeah. So, this guy is...
It sounds like he's got it going on.
This guy's a stalker. He's the real deal, Neil.
Why isn't he an intern on the Kevin and Bean Show? That sounds like what we're looking for.
DJ Stalker. That'd be easy to name him.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Yusuf Islam. He used to be known as Cat Stevens. Was a big, big music star in the 70s, early 80s, and then walked away from it all to get closer to God. Now he is getting closer to broke, and he has started touring again.
Oh, really?
Yes, he has. Oh, he is 62 years old. Robin Williams is 59 years old. John Lovitz is 53. Josh Hartnett celebrates his 32nd birthday, as does actor Justin Bartha. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't know that I've ever seen Ralph Garman as excited as he is today.
This week,
heading down to Comic-Con. I mean, usually there's got to be a chick involved for him to get this excited. But this is just him and his dorky guy friends.
Next best thing.
Kevin and Bean broadcasting live in San Diego on Friday. We've got a huge program. Michael C. Hall on the show from Dexter. Seth Green talking robot chicken. Seth Rogen is going to be there. He, of course, is the Green Hornet. Will Ferrell stopping by. And the man who's on the phone with us right now, Kevin Smith, is going to be joining us in person in San Diego on Friday. We've got him on the phone right now because he's got something big going on tonight. Hey, Smitty, how are you, man?
How are you guys, man?
We are good.
We're doing great. Are you as excited as...
I feel like Bean, dude, because I'm like on the phone. I'm not present.
Yeah.
Physically
not in the
present.
Room.
Kevin, next time I do this, you call in. Lisa, you call in.
All right.
Just leave Garmin and Mike there, man.
That's a recipe for disaster, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, are you all tingly like your boy Ralph about Comic-Con? Is this something that you love and look forward to all year long?
Yeah, this is like, you know, for people that, that live lives outside of the geek community, this is like that summer vacation. This is like going off to that two-week symposium. This is like going to a film festival. It's just this few-day stretch that sits right in the middle of your calendar that you kind of build your whole year around. You look forward to it.
Yeah,
when you walk around Comic-Con, do people have to kneel and kiss your ring?
No.
Is it like that?
But I don't walk around Comic-Con, man, because it's just... You go out on that floor, certain people, like, you know, I played a character in movies, and I look like the character, and I dress like the character in real life. So when I hit the floor, I'm kind of in, that's a world where I'm instantly recognizable. At the San Diego Comic-Con, I am Ben Affleck, even more than Ben Affleck. People are like, it's him, it's the fat dude, he's one of us.
But don't they say sometimes that is just a crappy Silent Bob costume and just walk right past
I've
you?
People be like, you don't look like a good Silent Bob. I always dream about attending as a fat stormtrooper, like in costume, putting on the mask, but they'd see my body frame. They're like, look at the shorts on that stormtrooper.
Well, we don't have very much time here to get into all the details. A lot of stuff we'll be able to talk about more on Friday, but Kevin has an extremely busy Comic-Con schedule on Saturday. You are going to be on three different panels on Saturday night, right?
Well, I've got the big thing I do on Saturday night is the panel I do at Comic-Con every year in Hall H. They're kind of, that's my State of the Union, if you will. That kind of begins my year of talking, because I start talking about stuff there that I wind up talking about for the rest of the year. So that'll be Saturday night. I think it's like 7:15.
Yeah.
Before that, there's a panel celebrating 25 years of Film Threat magazine and/or website. So I'm going to be on that Thursday morning, afternoon rather, 12:30. I'm doing this Batman Winding Gyre panel. Friday morning, I'm with you guys. Live from the con, from the Green Hornet Garage, am I correct?
Right.
That is right.
It's being that busy, it's a good thing you don't have anything to do tonight.
Tonight?
You need to rest up.
And right before Comic-Con kicks off, man, we've got an improv gig again.
What?
Tonight live at the improv. We did it, remember I did it like last month or a month and a half ago?
Yeah, of course.
This time we're coming back with my friends doing live Smodcast again, and my friends are doing their podcast, Tell Them Steve Dave. They're already sold out. Our show is at 8:15. I think there's a couple tickets left, but we had a good time last time. Unfortunately, it didn't record. Nobody heard it.
Oh, no.
It happens. I mean, it's weird. We live in that world now where I do so much podcasting and whatnot that, I mean, you guys must have this to some degree.
Of
don't
course.
You feel like when the mic's off, you're like, don't anybody talk. There's no reason.
Of course.
So
we try to get Bean not to, but he won't stop.
Yeah, it's just, you feel like it's manufactured for you. You're like, if I talk here, we can't talk on air. It feels like it's kind of wasted talk.
It is wasted. Well,
aren't you doing a live Smodcast Friday night as well from the con?
At the con as well, Friday night, there's a party. They're doing a really cool thing. Etnies is releasing sneakers, Kevin Smith sneakers. Nice. And there's a Clerks pair.
They say
one
Clerks on them.
Yeah, it's a Quick Stop on. Very cool. And they're throwing this launch party Friday night at this hotel, and I think it's the Say or the Sai Hotel in San Diego, and basically they're giving out tickets. Like basically, if you follow Etnies Culture, at Twitter, you can find out where these people are in corners, and they'll be wearing a shirt with my face on it from Southwest when I blew my face up even fatter than it normally is.
Right,
puff my cheeks out. People wearing those shirts giving out tickets to this party, and then we're having this secret Smodcast right there in the middle of the party. So it'll be cool. And then they're giving out shirts and sneakers.
This is crazy. Your schedule for the next 4 days must be what like President Obama's schedule is like every day. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah,
you
try to keep it busy. That's how you know you're like, you know, they still want you in this business. Like if I could still go to Comic-Con and draw and still have people going, oh, we want to show up to see you, then I feel like, all right, I'm good for another 6 months to a year. It's a good arbiter. It's a good bellwether of where you stand and things, your relevancy, if you will.
All right, if you have time tonight, 8:15, there are a couple of tickets left if you want to see Kevin Smith at the Hollywood
Improv.
Yeah,
come on down to the Improv, man. It's fun, right? I'm Melrose. We'll have a good time.
Hey, Kevin, record this one.
Yeah, I'm going to record
all right,
this one.
Good.
You could always show up, though. I come to your job all the time.
That's true.
You do. I'm going down to San Diego after this. I'm heading right down.
Excellent. I look forward to Friday morning from Comic-Con.
As,
all right.
As do we.
Sounds
we
great.
Are going to get so many chicks.
Oh, yeah.
Big ones, too. Big ones.
The best kind. Thanks, Kevin.
I don't listen to The Love Line. It's a very popular nationally syndicated sex and romance advice show. I don't listen to it because the co-host is kind of a dick. I love Dr. Drew, but that kid that he's got on with him, I can't stand him.
He sucks.
But they did something interesting last night, and I don't know how this came from Psycho Mike, co-host of Loveline, but a celebrity Twitter race. You asked for either Snoop Dogg, Russell Brand, Conan O'Brien, Shaquille O'Neal, Jimmy Fallon, or Bob Saget to do what via Twitter?
Respond back to the official Loveline Twitter, which is at Loveline, you know, right. On Twitter.
Right.
And whoever responds first gets a prize. And the
and
guy
what,
who controls the controls our interests on the internet at Loveline, Tyler, didn't really think up the prize. He just put that up there.
Oh.
And I understand he assumed that the response, if one were to come, would be a day later.
Right.
Snoop responds back in a minute.
In 1 minute?
Yes.
That's crazy.
But what kind of a prize could you possibly come up with that somebody like Conan O'Brien, the $20 million man, is going to be interested
in? I don't know. Probably something crappy, which in turn would be funny, you know, okay. Sarcastic. But Snoop responds back, groovy like a drive-in movie, ooh-wee, what's I win?
All right. So you know it's him.
So Drew and I walk into work and we're like, what's going on here? Because everybody's spinning out. What are we going to do? So we go to Snoop's official website to kind of check things out and see what we can muster up as far as prizes go. And Snoop has already uploaded a personal video to Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew, what up? It's Big Snoop Dogg. I got a question for you, man. How do you manage to smoke, have sex, and drink, and smoke, and have sex, and drink, and look good like me after 20 years?
You did.
I love him so much.
So next thing, reasonably, is have Dr. Drew respond back, you know, via video. And Dr. Drew set up right there on the spot, and we created this video.
Congratulations, Snoop, for winning the celebrity Twitter race this afternoon. And you ask a very interesting question. You know, the long-term effects of cannabis can be somewhat resisted by certain genetic traits, some genetic predispositions. The same is true with alcohol. Ethanol is not as damaging to certain individuals neurobiologically as others.
By the way, I laughed when you told me you were hiring a string quartet full-time at Loveline, but now at least I'm happy to see you're finding work for
it's
them.
It's useful.
Yeah.
And in terms of your aging, of course, pigmented skin doesn't age as quickly, and certainly there can be less elasticity and wrinkling. All of that could summate to have you looking as good as you do, given that you've been using a fair bit of cannabis, alcohol, ethanol, and continuing to engage in coitus. Or it could just be that you're one fly motherfucker.
I think that is most likely the answer, Dr. Drew. Well said. It's our day before Comic-Con show here on the Kevin and Bean program. Ralph is going to be broadcast from San Diego tomorrow. We're going to be down there. The whole show will be down there on Friday, except for Lisa May, who apparently, I don't know, she hates. I think Lisa May hates, right?
I actually believe I was told there weren't enough hotels
all right,
to
that
go
happened.
Around. And
maybe
like
we couldn't share.
Here.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that would share with you.
Absolutely. Well, no one offered at the time.
And coming up in just a few minutes, we'll talk to a guy who has written a book about how to survive Comic-Con, which should be interesting. First, though, I understand my hero was on the TV yesterday.
Bean is a weird guy in that we'll send him links, you know, to video that we know he'll love. We'll tell him about movies. We'll tell him about TV shows, stuff for the show.
Right.
He never has time for it. Never.
No, that's true.
He won't open a link from us.
Yes.
Say, we know you. We know you'll like this. Oh,
yes.
I didn't have time. I didn't have time. I'm too busy. I didn't have time. I'm too busy. So yesterday, I heard him say, oh, I got to tape this. And I was thinking, wow, it must be, you know, really something good.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, and I wrote it down for Thanks for That Info Beam, but I can't save it. This guy writes letters.
That's and it? This guy writes letters?
And Psycho Mike said, F you. And then Bean said, no, he writes letters to the editor. Like, he's got the most.
Oh, my God.
Right. So,
look, in my world, though, in the kingdom of strongly worded letter, where I live, this guy's a hero. I mean, this guy is, he's our Michael Jordan, because he manages to write to newspapers all over the country and get published in many of them all the time. It's phenomenal, his success rate.
Here's the thing about Bean, is that he majors in minors. Like, for example, he worships 7-Eleven. For me, I stop at 7-Eleven if I have to. He worships the post office.
It is, yeah, these there. Are his destinations
yes.
in his day that make
I
him happy.
I go to the post office only if I have to.
99.9% of people are like you,
I'm
Kevin.
More interested in who wrote the article than I am the letter to the editor
yes.
from the a-hole that said you used the wrong tense when you used were instead of was.
Oh,
you know
that's,
I mean?
Not what
like,
this, that's not what this guy writes about, though. This guy's
so
very smart.
This guy supposedly has more letters to the editor from magazines and newspapers. He's the king of it. So they did a piece on him. And this is what Bean was so excited about. I don't know about you, Lisa, but I've never, really, I don't think ever, read a letter to the editor.
Have I you? Might have glanced at a few.
Newspaper,
at the most,
magazine.
It is not a destination ever.
Ever, because
ooh, let's see what other people had to say about this. No.
Right, and they're generally a-holes.
Care.
You don't care, right?
Or, oh, I love that actor. Thanks for doing that profile.
Right.
Really? That improved my life?
But for being the guy that writes those, he's the king. So here's the piece, and you can tell what you need to know from NBC by the music that they started out with.
Gary H. Boyd, Coast Guard veteran. Retired Texaco executive, married to Olga. Gary's good at summing things up.
Yeah.
Concisely.
Yep.
Which is why...
I'm probably the king.
...of getting letters to the editor published in magazines and newspapers all over the country.
So, that's his thing. He writes letters to the editor. Magazines, newspapers, yes. All over the country. All
when
day
I,
long he's writing
when
letters
when
to the
editor. Wow. When I was a younger man and had the time and didn't have, you know, so many goddamn dogs and didn't have this job which consumes me, I used to write a lot of letters. I've been publishing Time Magazine and Rolling Stone. I wrote letters for a long time.
And I don't have the time anymore. So for so many years I ignored your letters and those because it's just with a bunch of other a-holes that think they need to speak up.
Exactly.
So here's the old dude with the banjo music.
Hobby started 10 years ago after his retirement from Texaco.
Why did you start writing letters to the editor?
Because I was bored.
And that's a great answer. Because I was bored. But by the way, I just want to remind you. Oh, I got to tape that. That's Bean's response.
How many of your letters to the editor have been published?
561 as of today.
Now, don't you automatically, and maybe it's just me, I have a gut reaction that I hate this guy.
Yeah,
because
this
he's had 561 letters to
because
the editor.
Because he's got
published.
A lot of good ideas and he's got something to add that apparently an editor in many cities in this country thinks is worthwhile enough to choose to select to put
God,
in their newspapers
I hate
and
this
magazines.
Guy so much. That's his whole claim to fame.
Wow.
Hey, Bob, what happened? Got another letter published. Good job.
Do you write every day?
Yes.
More than one topic?
Yes.
This is the piece Bean was very excited to record.
I'm going to burn it to
his
a DVD.
His prose is civil. His technique?
Well, I write it out, and then I reread it, and then I rewrite it, and then I reread it, and then I rewrite it.
All right. All right. That's great news.
I'm so firm right now.
Thanks for that.
Keep playing it. Keep playing it.
When will 562 happen?
Oh, that's a good question, because he's got 561 published. Mm-hmm. So when will 562 happen?
Oof. That's a great question. I don't...
Well, that was a Monday, and now it's Tuesday. And here he is again. Published letter number 562 for Gary Boyd.
What a jackass this guy is.
See, I couldn't disagree more, and here's why.
I know.
I appreciate the fact that journalism has become more of a two-way street than ever before.
In general, the people responding are assholes.
No, that's not true, because those letters aren't the ones that generally get selected. It's usually somebody who has a different spin or a difference of opinion. And I appreciate the fact that it's not just a one-way street where the newspaper or the blog or whatever it is gets to decide what the final word is on the topic.
But
I think it's healthy to have a mix of other voices
right,
in there.
I know, but no one reads those, Bean.
Untrue.
Because they're assholes.
I love this man so much. I'm going to move in with him.
The wife.
You know, when he first started, I thought, I wonder how long it'll last.
A decade later.
Dysfunction has seized America. Gary H. Boyd. Is the thrill gone? Of what? Writing this stuff?
Yeah.
What do you think? Is the thrill gone?
Hell no. Hells
no.
No, hell no.
For today, Mike Leonard, NBC News, Scottsdale, Arizona.
Look, the annoying banjo music is not doing that piece any favors.
You think?
But
he's
an old,
crotchety old man that finds stuff wrong with everything
and thinks his opinions need
to
be heard.
Oh dear God, I hate this guy.
So self-important.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. But at least then the news anchors will summarize his the way he does it.
Write it, reread it, rewrite it, reread it, rewrite it.
Yeah, it's a great piece.
All right.
I hope you have time to go through that today, Bean. Oh, you're going to be so inspired.
I can't wait till he dies and I can take over his crap.
Ralph Garman is here. He's a short timer. All he's thinking about is hitting the road for San Diego, but he's gonna grace us with his presence for another Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
I was until I heard Carl and his letter writing campaign. Now I got a brand new lease on life.
Bean's so excited.
Carl, do you like to write?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Gary H. Boyd.
Wow. That's a guy I do not want to meet.
An evening with Mark Twain.
I want to live with him.
Coming out of that guy's mouth.
Minus all the personality.
I'm going to write him a strongly worded letter and see if I can move in with him.
Wow.
Man is the only animal that blushes or needs to.
Mark Twain.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's
talk. Much more interesting than that guy.
Take a look at the showbiz news. Congratulations to Pauly D and the Situation. They have locked up their deals with MTV to continue on Jersey Shore for a third season.
Oh, thank God.
Hollywood Reporter says the rest of the cast is also very close to finalizing their deals with the network, so we won't have to go a season without Snooki and JWoww and Ronnie.
Because we've fallen in love with the people.
It's all about them. This will make you kill yourself. They're getting $30,000 per episode.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
$30,000.
And what do they have to do for that $30,000 for each episode, Ralph?
Drink, fist pump.
Uh-huh.
Punch.
Gym, tan laundry.
Gym, tan laundry.
That's it.
That's all they got to do. That's a gig.
And it's because of shows like Jersey Shore and the fact that they do exist that so many people go, I don't need a skill or a career or an education. I'll just be famous. That's what I'm going to do for a living.
I just want to be famous.
Yeah.
That is the number one ambition of most school-age children now.
Just to be famous?
When they take a poll of kids and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Famous is now coming up as first.
Yeah.
And it's hard to blame them when you look at JWoww, who can do nothing and is famous and wealthy.
Yep. We're circling the drain, people.
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
Like Carlin always said, I'm just sitting back watching the fireworks because we're going down the drain.
I love it.
You know, it's an interesting fact. It was 38 years ago today. I think it was 38 years ago. 72? I mean, 38, right?
Sure. Yes.
George Carlin did his seven words you can't say on television.
Right. Oh, no kidding.
Famous sketch.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He did it live on stage for the first time in 1972 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and got arrested for doing it on stage.
Wow.
Cops showed up, pulled him off the stage, and took him to jail for saying those words in public.
That is just not that long ago.
It just isn't. Shows you how far we've come.
Wow.
And we're sliding back.
Yeah.
We are quickly.
Speaking of Comic-Con, Ali Larder will be there this weekend promoting her new movie, Resident Evil Afterlife, with her co-star Mila Jovovich.
Oh, my God.
Love it.
Yeah, that's a twosome right there. In fact, I will be hosting the panel. I'll be moderating the panel for Resident Evil Afterlife.
How many panels are you going to be doing?
A lot of them.
You seem like you're in
a lot
demand.
Of people have emailed saying, where will you be? How can I see you? So I posted my schedule, my Comic-Con schedule, on kevinandbean.com.
Oh, there you go.
So if you go there, you can see what I'm doing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm working 3 days.
Can you fit Thursday morning show and Friday morning show into your schedule?
Just barely. I might run in, do birthdays, and just run back out to Hall H or something, or wherever else I'm hosting something. But
all right, good.
I will try to make an appearance. Ali Larder is pregnant. That's the reason I brought up the story. Congratulations to her and her writer-actor husband, Hayes MacArthur. And Bean will be very excited to know that Hayes is actually the son of the guy who played Dano on the original Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, no kidding. How about that? James MacArthur.
James
How about
MacArthur,
that?
MacArthur, yeah.
That is so not interesting.
So there you go. Well, I knew it would be for Bean.
Yeah, but let's not humor him.
Look, you got to throw the guy a bone once in a while.
Mm.
Jenna Fisher got married recently to her boyfriend, Lee Kirk. People magazine reports they had an interesting wedding on many levels, but perhaps most interesting is the fact that Survivor host Jeff Probst was the one who married them.
What?
He apparently is an ordained minister from the Universal Life Church.
What a scam that is. Bean and I were the same
thing.
They'll
let any jackhole join that church, by
Costs
the way.
Costs $1.
He has performed a number of ceremonies, according to people, including the renewing the vows for his parents' 35th anniversary.
Are they still doing that? Do you know, Bean? Are they still
Church? Yeah. I haven't heard much from them on that. We kind of dropped out and I lost interest a little bit.
And Eddie Vedder wants everyone to know Pearl Jam's not breaking up.
Okay.
He panicked fans earlier this month when he was in Lisbon, Portugal. He said he was reading in Portuguese from a piece of paper that he had translated what he wanted to say and had someone translate it into Portuguese for
Uh-oh.
Him.
Uh-oh.
And it came out in Portuguese saying, thank you for coming to our last show. Not our last show ever, but our last in a long, long time. And everyone at the concert thought that meant they were breaking up.
Right.
But in reality, it was just the end of the tour. And he was saying, this is the end of the tour. So it was a little lost in translation, but everyone panicked on the internet and rumors started to swirl that Pearl Jam was breaking up. But it's not the case. They're not breaking up, so everyone relax. All right?
All right.
Okay.
And Comic-Con, of course, starting this evening. I'm very excited. We've got some comic book news.
Because you haven't mentioned that much. Comic-Con is coming to town
soon. Comic book movie fans. The Riddler, apparently the top villain to be considered to star in the third installment of Batman with Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale. And so far, all signs point to Joseph Gordon-Levitt to play the Riddler.
No! No!
This is according to TheRealmCast.com. Also, the rumors that Adrian Brody would be starring as Ant-Man in the movie for the Marvel Comics Studios movie Ant-Man.
Tell me about Ant-Man.
Are now totally false, according to Edgar Wright, who will be directing Ant-Man.
Is he like having a human head and then an ant body? How does that work?
He's able to reduce himself to a very, very small size.
Oh.
But, and then? But he can communicate with ants with his mind and make
calling
them do
all
things.
Ants. Yes. I need you to come attack.
If you have a sandwich, you are effed because Ant-Man will call those ants to come and eat your goddamn sandwich. No, Ant-Man. Now, but he has the proportional strength of an ant.
So when he turns back into human, he's still as strong as an ant.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the proportional strength of an ant. You know, an ant can lift like 20 times its own weight. Yeah.
Sure.
And so can Ant-Man.
Sure.
And his wife, the Wasp.
Oh, wow. Now, how do those two make it work with really an interspecies relationship?
Well, they're both human beings, Bean. But she has a power of flight, like a wasp, and he's Ant-Man, and they're married.
You're making this up.
I'm not. Hank Pym is his name, and that's
You're so just having a joke on us.
I am not.
Yeah, it's happening.
Now, the point, now I haven't seen the Ant-Man, but there are billions of ants, and if he can communicate with, can he control the ants? Could he say, hey, ants, move that car, and all of a sudden they just come from everywhere, pick up the car, and take it away?
Ask and answered.
Ant-Man can talk to the ants.
Wow. Ant-Man sounds awesome.
Wait till you see. Edgar Wright is directing it as the guy who gave us Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead and those movies.
Well, those are sweet.
So I think it may be a little funny.
Can't be good.
It may be funny.
It better be.
So we'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Cat Stevens, the singer-songwriter who now goes by Yusuf Islam, is 62 years old today. Comedian and actor Robin Williams is 59.
Glendale?
John Lovitz is 53 years old today. You know, he's got a comedy club up there at Universal Studios.
I've gone. John
Lovitz. You have?
Yeah.
Has he been there?
No.
Does he take tickets at the door? Is he working behind the bar?
Not that night, no.
Well, God damn it, it's his place. He should be there.
It's rough. It's a lot of first-time comedians.
I'm opening a comedy club. Yeah, that's the ticket.
I'll get a chance to do my Lovitz.
Not very often.
Josh Hartnett is 32 years old today, and actor Justin Bartha also celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is our pre-Comic-Con show. Ralph Garman will be live in San Diego tomorrow. The whole show will be down there on Friday. Get details at kevinbean.com if you want to come down. If you happen to be in San Diego going to Comic-Con, you want to come by and meet us and some of our very special guests. We'd love to have you. How about an expert? How about a guy getting ready to go to his, by my count, 7th Comic-Con, who has written a book for folks like us, Kevin, who are there for the first time, The Unauthorized San Diego Comic-Con Survival Guide, author Doug Klein on the show with us right now. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Very good.
It's going great. Do I have that right? This is your 7th year you'll be heading down there to San Diego?
Yep. First year was 2004.
And did you find yourself so lost that you wished a book like this one that you've written existed?
Oh, my God, yeah. I wrote this book basically so you could go in there and be the 2010 me rather than 2004 me.
What if we don't want to be any you? It's just a question. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So you have stuff like where to park, line up early, what to wear, dress for success, and then you cross that out and you say comfort. The great thing about Comic-Con is that it's okay if you look like a dork.
Absolutely.
In fact, it's expected.
Yeah. Yeah, they want you to look like a dork. In fact, it's celebrated. People seek out the biggest dork in the room with their cameras. So.
Now, what has it been like over the few years that you've been going to see it get so much bigger? Is it more difficult for newbies to navigate now just because it's a little bit overwhelming how huge it is?
Even after, while I was writing this, I was learning new things as I was fact-checking things, and it's constantly evolving. Comic-Con is doing their best to make things better and easier every year. I mean, they're trying to they're trying to make the, you know, the lines easier to navigate, the crowds to not choke up at all the big booths. But and no matter what, it's always going to seem overwhelming.
Page 73 under the heading of hygiene says, bathe every day. I can't stress this enough. Let's not feed an old stereotype.
Oh, yeah.
People don't bathe every day?
It is apparent. There's some people who actually don't even get hotel rooms, and they will sit in line overnight outside the convention center for Hall H.
Which is the big, where they have all of the big stuff. Yeah,
that's the big room, and I saw a guy who said he's never had a hotel room, and he doesn't bathe, obviously, unless he's going to a washroom at some hotel.
Which leads us to the next one, which is get some sleep. Yeah. This seems like an obvious thing, but between early morning lineups and all-night drinkathons at their favorite watering hole, some people forget to sleep.
Yeah.
Is this...
Really? They need this in a book?
It seems like you're talking to retards.
Well, you are, Kevin. What do you think the audience is for this book?
Yeah, it's a lot of common sense stuff in here. I mean, there's some people who look at this and go, oh, yeah, well, obviously I have to sleep, I have to eat, I have to, you know, get in line early, but it's something you got to clarify for some people.
Let me ask you this, Doug, and again, this author, Doug Klein, on the phone, we're talking about the unauthorized San Diego Comic-Con Survival Guide. What about people who are going down for the first time, they're very excited, they have tickets. Let's say, just to throw one out there, they want to see Ralph Garman hosting the Dexter panel. Is that the type of thing that everybody who wants to go see that is going to be able to, or do they cut it off at a certain point, and how early do you need to get in line for things like that?
Oh, it'll definitely sell out. It is one of the most in-demand things at the show. You're going to have to get in line early.
Hours
in advance.
What is that? Hours? How many hours?
I would say, if I don't know what time your panel the panel is.
Well, let's say a panel's at noon.
Noon. I would say no later than say 8.
8 a.m.
Wow. Nine. How about that? And how many people do they usually let into some of the major panels? I mean, is it an audience of 100 or 1,000 or what?
Well, Hall H is 6,500 people. Ballroom 20, where Dexter is about 4,000 people.
Wow.
And again, people will stand in line. It is their day. They'll actually, because there's a lot of panels before Dexter, whether they care for those or not, they'll sit through all those panels in order to make sure they see Dexter.
I got you.
Oh, I see. So they just spend the whole day there waiting for the one they want.
Yep.
Okay. Last question for you, Doug, and then we'll give out the details on how to buy your book. Right. What are my chances, if I'm going down there as a first-timer, of getting laid at Comic-Con?
Wait, you or just regular people?
Regular person.
Right. How much beer money do you have?
Really? That's all it takes?
That's the answer?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's plenty of parties out there, and there's plenty of...
Hey, Princess Leia, how about a beer?
Exactly. All girls in loose clothing and loose morals.
The unauthorized San Diego Comic-Con Survival Guide is available for just $7. If you buy the paperback version, you can get shipping for $3 anywhere in the world. The ebook version, of course, you can download immediately. What's that website, Doug?
SDCCSurvivalGuide.com. And it's also available at the show at the Kirby Crackle booth, 1803.
All right. There you go. We'll see you down at Comic-Con. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:43.
Ralph Garman is here with yet another look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's happening, Ralph?
Whatever.
Ralph's dying to get on the road.
I'm hours away, just mere hours away.
Ralph's going down tonight. We're going down to, for Friday's show.
What if I can get a helicopter?
Oh, there you go.
I think our station would pay for me to get a helicopter down to San Diego.
Sure. I think Kevin could hook you up with one of his contacts, probably.
Call Linus. Linus
would do it for
you. And see if he can hook me up with Kevin Zeppelin or whatever he's traveling in these days.
I wish I had one.
Justin Bieber, the movie?
No.
Apparently, there is talk.
No!
About Justin starring in a movie about his meteoric rise to fame.
No!
So says HollywoodLife.com. There is no script as of yet. But the plan is to make a Justin Bieber film similar to Eminem's 2002 film, 8 Mile.
No.
Which sort of was a thinly veiled, fictionalized version of Eminem's rise to notoriety.
It was a great movie, too.
Nope. Stop talking.
He was good in it.
Yeah.
And I think Justin will be even better.
No.
because they can say, "Oh, look, I've got a zit," and they can, like, you know, spend some time in that. "Oh my! Oh, look, my hair got combed forward. I think I'll keep it that way." Like all the seminal moments in his life, in his career.
Guess that's
definitive. Alice in Wonderland director Tim Burton has another movie in the works. This one I think will be just as odd as some of his best work has been. Monsterpocalypse, it's called.
It sounds like a sequel to Sharktopus, by the way.
How dare you to besmirch the name of Sharktopus by attaching a director like Tim Burton to it.
Ralph, I was watching the Mariners lose another one to the White Sox yesterday on Fox Sports Northwest, and they came with a Sharktopus commercial during the game, and I thought, they are advertising this thing big time, man.
Did you see Ralph?
Not in the trailer, no.
No, not
but
in the trailer.
But still, yeah. It was very exciting.
I don't even know if we have an air date yet for Sharktopus. I believe it's going to be the fall. They're going to make you wait.
The whole fall?
The whole of the fall, yes. Just round-the-clock screenings of Sharktopus. But I do believe we're trying to put together a special Kevin and Bean Sharktopus premiere party.
Awesome!
Oh, that'd be sweet.
All right, we can get an advanced screening, invite some people down, and we can have a little Sharktopus party. How about that?
That's awesome.
I like
it. I'll keep you posted.
Make sure. I saw some of your fellow actors in the trailer. I hope are going to be at the screening, if you get my meaning.
Oh. You should see Shandy Finnessy is the name
Tell
of the
me.
Actress who is in my scenes.
He's telling you. Hang on.
Tell me.
See,
faster.
I play Captain Jack, a drunken, burnt out former American disc jockey, radio personality.
Okay.
Who has run afoul of the FCC.
Right.
And is now broadcasting from a boat off the coast of Mexico.
Okay. You're Canadian?
To all the kids who.
A boat?
A boot. To all the kids who are partying, you know, at PV, Puerto Vallarta, for the spring break.
Sure.
I'm providing them with the hot jams.
And, like you do.
And Shandy Finnessy.
You're known for your hot jams.
Plays my
sidekick?
Producer slash board op.
Slash sex slave?
Slash smoking hot former Miss USA in a bikini.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shandy was Miss USA in 2004, I believe.
All right.
And she's just worth the price of admission right there. You won't hear a word I'm saying, trust me, when we're on screen together. Because she is just diabolical and could not be sweeter, so. But I think Sci-Fi, if I'm not mistaken, has made up a bunch of promotional Sharktopus buttons for Comic-Con that literally say, "Damn you, Sharktopus!" on them.
This has to be like your crowning moment.
So I'm going to try to get in there tonight, the preview night, the opening night of the con, and try to scarf up as many as I can, and then maybe we can give them out on the show or something. But,
What's a bigger thrill for you? Damn you, Sharktopus making a button, or McFever going everywhere after you dubbed her that on American Idol?
Well, McFever never really was merchandised.
Yeah, know? True.
This is hard. This is like hard and fast evidence that this exists. It's kind of exciting. You know, it's a big time around the Kevin and Bean Show, I'll tell you. Because we got me, first of all.
Right.
Television superstar Ralph Garman.
That is what you like about the show.
That is big.
That was a strange statement, but move on, please.
But we also have Dave the King of Mexico making his motion picture debut.
Yes, yes, that's true.
Oh, that's right.
In Step Up 3D.
That's true.
That's right.
Step Up.
Which I believe is out early August.
He throws down some moves in that.
So
what
you
I
got
hear.
Me dropping the hot jams for the
right,
kids, and
sure.
Then we got Dave, you know, popping and locking, busting
the robot.
A move, they're doing the robot, stepping it up to the streets. I mean, it's very exciting.
It really is heady times.
Psycho Mike's on E, you know, giving us the top 10 every night.
That's
it's
right.
Just, there's a lot 10, going yeah. on. A lot
we've
going on.
We've turned into the Miami Heat. We are a team of nothing but superstars who can't win a championship.
Lisa is a treasurer for a condominium club.
I heard that. I heard
she's got that going for
yeah.
her. Just saying.
That's exciting.
Very exciting time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I couldn't be happier.
I want to know who the other people at your complex where they chose you to be in charge of facts and figures.
Oh, so they wanted to know how much money we had, and I didn't, and I forgot to check.
It's got one job.
It's your only job is to know that number. That's it.
I was busy.
Without that number, you're nothing.
You are good with money. You're just not good with figures. And
I don't know
that's
what that
true.
Is.
I don't do good math in my head.
Right.
I think your figures look good from here.
I think so.
All right. But enough about us. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we, if we have any time. Cameron Diaz and Alex Rodriguez are getting quite serious with each other, according to People magazine. They're now officially a couple. and hanging out with other famous couples. They were seen double dating with Jay-Z and Beyonce the other night.
I like to double date with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
I just can't imagine Cameron Diaz having anything to say to Jay-Z at a table.
But don't you picture her
I broke my nose.
Don't you picture her not shutting up, though?
Oh, yeah.
Even though she doesn't have anything to say.
Yeah, that's exactly what I picture. Speaking of Jay-Z and Beyonce, they are invited guests to Alicia Keys' wedding this weekend. Alicia is marrying Swizz Beatz.
Sure.
On a yacht off the coast of the Caribbean.
That'd be okay.
That's a place to get married right there. Oprah Winfrey is also expected to attend for ballast.
She has a second yacht to hold her?
They need something to keep the yacht from tipping over, so they put her down in the hold. The hardest storm could come a-blowing. The perfect storm could come, and that ship is not going over. They're not going to capsize.
I'm so fat.
That's what we're saying, yes.
She's not a small woman.
Right.
Exactly. It wasn't that long ago that there was a lot of chatter about Alicia Keys perhaps playing for the other side, and now here she is knocked up and marrying a dude.
Huh. Imagine that.
I've gained weight.
Yes, you have. That's what we're saying.
And poor Jessica Simpson. She tweeted over the week, on Monday, that she has found a wrinkle.
She found a wrinkle in her face?
On her face.
Really?
Yeah.
That's tweetable?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's the horrors of aging, Kevin. She tweeted that. That's bean-worthy. I'm
really
surprised
is.
That...
I found a wrinkle.
Someone's competing with Bean when it comes to innocuous
tweets.
She's going to
take your crown, Bean.
Yeah.
Better step it up with your worthlessness.
Bean, are you sending a message Morse code from the island?
He's got the fingers of fire today. I've been having to turn him down all day.
Wow. I'm in touch with a lot of people during the show.
Yeah, well...
And this is our affiliate board op I'm talking to now.
You type with purpose.
I do.
Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Cat Stevens, who now goes by the name Yusuf Islam.
My favorite Cat Stevens song has to be Moonshadow.
It's a tweet we'll be seeing later today, I'm sure.
That's what he was doing right then.
Moonshadow.
62 years old today. Robin Williams turns 59. Comedian John Lovitz is 53 years old. Josh Hartnett, very talented actor, is 32, as is another talented actor, Justin Bartha. You probably know him best as the sidekick Nicolas Cage in the National Treasure movies.
Is he also the groom in The Hangover? Is that the
same
guy?
He is the groom in The Hangover. He is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Ralph will be heading down to San Diego.
I will.
And he will be broadcasting from there tomorrow morning for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. His in-studio guest down on location is Rob Corddry.
Have you guys seen any of Children's Hospital?
I have not.
Adult
no.
Swim
no.
on the Cartoon Network?
I have not.
Good. It is hilariously funny and deeply, deeply disturbing.
Excellent.
It's got everything
it's
you want
kind of
in a TV show.
Dick Cheney's dead. Don't know if you heard that.
What?
Turns out.
What?
Turns out.
I think I would have heard something about that.
His heart turned around and just gave him the middle finger.
Really?
He's actually the undead, and that's why it's
true.
A fascinating story. Wait till you hear about it tomorrow.
Jason Schwartzman on tomorrow's show.
Yeah!
Very excited
Love
about
him.
That. Love having him on. Dr. Drew, as usual on Thursdays, we have Matt Atchity, who is from Rotten Tomatoes, talking about the new movies that are going to be debuted this weekend.
And there must be like 100 movies that are going to have space on the floor at Comic-Con this year, right? It's crazy, right, Ralph?
It's manic. They're everything from Salt and Green Hornet and Green Lantern. A lot of greens down there. The other guys, Battle L.A., there's just a ton of films are going to be there today.
Very exciting. Ralph will be down there. I don't know that he'll be in fine shape tomorrow morning because he does plan on going to a lot of stuff tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
But that's an all-new show tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including The Cage the Elephant, also Red Hot Chili Peppers, Linkin Park, Cake, and that new song for Mumford & Sons you like so much. I know it sounds like a sitcom from the 70s, but it's actually an awesome...
It is good.
An awesome band with an awesome song. It's all straight ahead right here on K-Rock.